This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He won't come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins, touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy, touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Yep, this is the show. Welcome to the show, the big show, the John Murphy Show. And if you're watching on television, if you're watching on our MSG simulcast side, you're getting to look at the weather here in Orchard Park. New Era Field with our stationary camera in the end zone, the scoreboard side of New Era Field. Just a little blowing, drifting snow. Good afternoon. Welcome to Orchard Park. John Murphy, Donald Jones here in chilly, snowy Orchard Park, as much of Western New York is. Donald, you made it into work okay today?
I made it in today. Yeah. You know, it was this lady driving on the road. She was going like 10 miles an hour.
With the flashers on?
Yeah, that makes a difference. It's not that serious. People were flying by us. I'm like, yeah. What is going on?
Right.
I wanted to bump her and just make her turn out.
Send her into the ditch?
Right.
Not a good idea. Yeah, it's a little wintry here, but we're okay. We all made it to work, and happy to be on the air with you today, following up Andrew Peters' birthday hour. Our producer, Jay Harris, had his birthday prominently mentioned.
Man.
At the end of the show, Jay is mid-30s today.
Is he?
Yeah. Now the
you
other day
think he was like 28.
We had Jay Pride Day on the air 2 days ago, so we're not going to get into that. But happy birthday to Jay Harris!
Happy birthday, Jay Harris, the pride of Jamestown, New York.
Jamestown, New York. Oh, there he is.
There he is. Look at that! And you see Christy and everybody else over there.
Yep. And the
food.
Yeah. Well, they got a little birthday buffet going on in there. And look at the hockey guys.
Look at the hockey guys
themselves. The instigators going all in on the barbecue birthday thing.
Yeah, that's all how, right. You know, especially Petey. That's how Petey does, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Hey, we're here to talk some football. We're not talking barbecue. If you do watch the show on Instagram or on MSG and you happen to see a little barbecue. Yeah, I don't know what. If you happen to see a little barbecue sauce on Donald's face, let us know.
We'll yeah, I just save it for later.
Here until 3, pretty good show. The Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas is going to join us in studio at 1 o'clock today. Thurman's in the house. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we're going to talk with Lance Leipold going into his third season as the head coach of the UB Bulls. The Bulls, some of them in the house today, along with some other NFL prospects. UB had its pro day just across the hall in the field house, Donald. I know you and I both took a look at that today, right?
Yeah, I had a good chance to take a look at it. It always takes me back to my pro day, you know, and I was at Youngstown State and you know, first of all, my pro day was outside in the cold. So these guys have it good to have this facility here to come and do it inside. But, you know, it's always good to see the young guys out there trying to, you know, make their dreams come true. They've trained for months now to make this happen. And, you know, hopefully it comes through for them.
There are about, I think, 10 or 12 NFL scouts here in attendance at the UB Pro Day. There were how many prospects, you think? 20 maybe at
20,
most?
25? Yeah, 25.
From UB, from SUNY Albany, got the list here. We're going to talk with Lance Leipold in the 2 o'clock hour about some of those players. We're going to talk with Lance Leipold about some of the other Mid-American Conference players who are now prospects in the NFL draft, including the wide receiver that everybody likes, Corey Davis, right? He went up against him.
Western Michigan. He definitely went up against him. So it's going to be good to talk to him and see what he feels is Corey Davis's strengths and maybe his weaknesses as well.
So that's coming up today. We'll talk about the UB Pro Day. And we will what else we got? Oh, we got your phone calls and our Twitter poll, and we moved through free agency. We are, 6 days now into NFL free agency, started last Thursday at 4 o'clock. The Bills have made their moves. We're trying to decipher whether there's anything left to do. We know the Bills are up against it cap-wise, and that's one of the things we want to hear from you as far as you look at the Bills and their free agent haul so far. What do we got? 8 players signed, including Tolbert. Which Bills free agent signing could have the biggest impact for the upcoming season, the 2017 season? That's our Twitter poll. That's what we want to hear from you about. On the phones at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Which Bills free agent signing could have the biggest impact? Almost 500 votes in so far. 82% of you say the safety, Micah Hyde. Most of us expect him to jump right into the starting lineup and go. 12% of you say the kicker, Steven Hauschka. And 2% or 4% say somebody else. 2% say the wide receiver, Corey Brown, who was signed to a contract the other day. Give us your thoughts on that. Which Bills free agent could have the biggest impact on the upcoming season? You can do it over the telephone, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or you can do it via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. What would you vote for? Micah Hyde, I think, most disagree.
I think I would have to agree with everyone in there in that 82%. Reason being, I mean, you look at the defense last year, the back half of that defense, the safety position, and even the corners, it really was an issue for this defense. I mean, we talked about it last week. This was like bombs over Baghdad, you know. So
yeah.
It's good to bring in a guy who really can make plays back there, a guy who can move around the entire defense and make plays at every position, from safety to corner, nickel. You could even put him down there. He could play some linebacker in a nickel type of situation. So it's good to have a guy like that. And also, he's played in big games. You know, a lot of big games out there in Green Bay against the Seattles. He's played in a lot of playoff games. It's good to have guys like that on this team that know how to get it done. I think he's going to be the guy that really can come in here and make an impact right away.
So let's hear from you. Is there a free agent the Bills have signed you think will have a big impact, or maybe not? Maybe you are nonplussed or not impressed by the Bills free agent signings. Phone lines are wide open at 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll free at 1-888-552-550. You can comment on this, too, if you'd like. And we've been talking, and people have been calling about, what about this free agent for the Bills? What about that free agent? News on a couple of them today, including Zach Brown, the linebacker who had the good Pro Bowl year for the Bills, an unrestricted free agent after 1 year in Buffalo. Zach Brown is scheduled to visit the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are looking at Zach Brown, who is now moved up the list as one of the most prominent free agents still out there. 16 starts last year for the Bills, 149 tackles, 4 sacks. The Raiders need linebackers, and Zach
they
Brown
definitely
would fill
needed
the
linebackers. If you remember when we played them last year, it was like, man, their defense, especially their run defense, was horrible. You know, so it's good to have a guy like Zach Brown. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him leave there without a contract. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him leave there with a contract, because he, you know, is a good linebacker. We talked about him if he were to come back here, how fast he is, how he can cover guys, and he can also make tackles. And you saw that the production on the field this year. The Raiders, the fact that they need linebackers, also, when you look at their cap situation, I mean, they have to spend money. So he's probably excited to go there. Like, man, they might offer me a big deal just because they have to spend money and they need linebackers. So I would think he's going to be signed.
Zach Brown talking to the Raiders, visiting the Raireds. Another one of the Bills' unrestricted, another guy who was on a one-year deal here, the wide receiver Justin Hunter, who played 12 games, got 5 starts, and caught 4 touchdowns for the Bills. Justin Hunter is ready to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the ESPN report says. Second-round pick of the Titans back in 2013. We all think he was very productive and when called upon in Buffalo's offense. But we're at the point now where the Bills obviously cash-strapped and not a whole lot left cap room to do much in free agency. And it looks like they're going to let Justin Hunter get away as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't think that you would have to spend a lot of money to get Justin Hunter back here. But, you know, Justin Hunter, I'm sure with those touchdowns that he had in the red zone for us last year, he was going to test out the market. Even if the Bills made an offer, he was going to go and see what teams would offer him. The Steelers are a team that, you know, traditionally they have like shorter receivers, shorter, quicker, fast guys, and they're probably looking for a big red zone target, you know, and I would think Justin Hunter could be that guy. If he can catch the ball consistently, he might emerge as a good player for them and scoring a lot of touchdowns for them.
So Justin Hunter, ready to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that word coming from ESPN. The Bills had an interesting free agent in here a couple of days ago on Monday. Andre Smith, former first-round draft pick, looked at as a possible right tackle for the Buffalo Bills. Andre Smith is getting ready to rejoin the Cincinnati Bengals. He played 7 years there in Cincinnati after becoming a first-round draft pick for them. Spent last year with the Minnesota Vikings. Came here in a free agent visit. The Bills, according to reports, made an offer, but Andre Smith decided he was happier in Cincinnati. 30 years old. You wouldn't think he has a whole lot left in the tank, but certainly with the Bills and their question marks at the right tackle spot, I'm sure took a long look at Andre Smith, and if the reports are correct, made him an offer, he decided to go elsewhere.
I mean, it makes sense for him to go back to where he first came into this league in Cincinnati, and maybe that's a place where he's comfortable being. I don't know. I don't know what they told him or what they told him here when he came on a visit here, But I know here would have been a real opportunity for him to step in and start at that right tackle position, you know. So I would think that him going back to Cincinnati really shows that they probably have some love for him, and he's probably going to end up starting out there. Because for me, if I was him in his situation, I would have looked at this position and said, man, at least it's going to be a competition at the right tackle position between me and Jordan Mills and Cyrus Kwanjo. And I can win that if you have the confidence in yourself, right? So, you know, I'm happy for him that he's going back home, essentially, and hope the best for him.
And, one more, the 7 years, you can't discount the 7 years that Andre Smith spent in Cincinnati. There's
right.
got to be a comfort level there, and pretty much the same coaching staff. You would think he is comfortable there. And finally, and this should come as no surprise, Percy Harvin, who played a couple of games with the Bills last year and played before then in 2015 with the Bills. He is officially retiring this time. His agent said he is done playing, not participating in free agency. He retired in April 2016, but came back to the Bills after that string of injuries for the Bills at wide receiver, and only lasted two games, two passes, receptions, 6 yards, and then the migraines forced him to the sideline. Doesn't surprise anybody, I'm sure, but there is an element, I think, Donald, of not tragedy, but regret. And Percy Harvin, dynamic performer that he was, wasn't able to stay on the field for Buffalo and really had his entire career short-circuited by injuries and illnesses.
You know, it really stinks because he was a real talent. You know, Percy Harvin coming out of college was a guy. He was one of those guys like a Christian McCaffrey, a Tavon Austin, who you really didn't know what to do. You know, you could get him you wanted to get him the ball. He wasn't a guy who you was going to line up outside and he runs routes, the entire route tree for you. He wasn't a guy who you're going to line up in the running back position as well and just say, we're going to give you carries all day. But he was a guy who can break a game wide open for you in any given play. The fact that he had the injuries and then the headaches, it really just messed up his entire career, man. It really stinks, but I wish him the best. I hope that he could get the headaches all together.
I remember when we came back last year, it was about midway through the season. Remember how happy he was? He came on the show, sat right over there, just happy to be back in the NFL. You could tell that he missed it and he really wanted to play, tried to play.
I mean, it's when your career is short-circuited by injuries or by health issues, It stinks, you know, because you don't get to really – people say, well, you got a chance to get there and live out your dreams. Yeah, but you want to play as long as you can play, and you want to be able to go into the playoffs and win Super Bowls and stuff like that. And then when your career just comes to an end, and now you're still watching your friends all around playing, and, you know, now you're just watching on the couch. It really sucks, you know.
Yeah.
So I hope that he's able to – you know, move on, and he has another career after his NFL career, and maybe he'll end up coaching or something like that.
Yeah, well, we wish him the best because he's a pretty good guy. And so that kind of recaps what the Bills are up to. They have a couple of players in today to sign their contracts, we believe, although the guys who've already agreed to terms last week, you never know with the weather the way it is, whether they actually made it in, whether they've made it around for their physicals and stuff. And if we're able to, we'll try to get some of those players in on the show today. We do have Thurman Thomas coming in at 1 o'clock and UB football coach Lance Leipold coming up at 2. And we'd like to hear from you about any or all of this. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. The Bills may be winding down in free agency after the moves they've made, a pretty busy first 6 days of free agency. Who's going to have the biggest impact? The Buffalo Bills free agent signings. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or via Twitter, you can vote in our Twitter poll and just weigh in on Twitter. Buffalo Sports Fan 90 tweets, and considering Brown, Corey Brown is nothing more than a poor man's number three wide receiver. Yeah, I mean, what is a poor man's wide number three? Does that make him a four? I don't know. I think Corey Brown is a 2/3, right? Somewhere, probably closer to a third wide receiver.
Yeah,
you know,
I would think he's a slot guy, closer to a three. But when you look at him and you watch his highlights and things, I mean, he can make plays for you. He's not a guy like we talked about who's gonna burn past everyone down the field. But he is a guy who can run routes. He can run the entire route tree, and he can catch the ball consistently. And that's what you want. I think he's a three. At the worst, he's a four. But I think he could be your three.
A couple of other tweets on Corey Brown. Thomas C. tweets in on Corey Brown. He made plays on Carolina that went unnoticed. He stepped up when Calvin Benjamin went down.
Right.
One of many receivers who did the year they went to the Super Bowl. There's a lot to be said for that. I mean,
he had
a chance to play 2 seasons ago and made plays. I mentioned how he always made a positive impression on me in the preseason games when the Bills would play Carolina. I think I think he's an interesting player. Do I think you plug him in there as the number two next to Sammy? Not yet, but let's see. Let's see how it turns out.
I mean, I think that's how you have to look at it. You're definitely not going to say he's going to get in there and be your number two right now. We talked about it. I think your number two is going to come out of the draft. But I think here's a guy who can, like we talked about, run every route on the route tree. He can also help you out in a special teams game. And he's made plays on the biggest stages, mm-hmm. you know, and he stepped up when they didn't have anything in Carolina. And that's probably why Coach Sean McDermott, even though he was a defensive coordinator, he saw that when he was there. You know, this guy made plays when we needed him to, when our number one and two receivers went down. This guy was a guy who stepped up and helped us get to the Super Bowl. So there's something to be said about that. And I don't think you could just count this guy out.
Give us a call. Let us know what you think at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or do it via Twitter as we go through some of the tweets. The most impactful free agent signing. Which free agent should have the biggest impact or could have the biggest impact for the Bills? Kyle Ertl tweets in, clearly Hyde, Micah Hyde, but he says, I think Brown could be a sleeper to have surprising impact, 30 or more catches realistic. Bob Timchak tweets in, I can't wait to see the impact Micah Hyde makes on defense. Love that signing. I think most of us feel, and here's another one, Robert Chase, Micah Hyde is the one because he played in big games and can cover the number one receiver. Micah Hyde is the one that I think most of us are pretty excited about, Donald, as far as impact.
You know, I think Micah Hyde is definitely going to make – I think you have to look at the defense last year and where the real issues in this defense was. It was really the entire defense. But, you know, the run game was not good. But the passing game, the passing defense, it was hard to watch at times. You know, teams were able to just throw the ball all over the field, and especially on third downs. This team could not get off the field on third down situations. And you would see third and 15 – and the team goes for 20 yards and picks up a first down. So that was all in the back half of this defense. And so I would think that having a guy like Micah Hyde back there who can play all over the field, possibly match up with, you know, your number one receiver, that's huge for the back half of this defense.
All right, let's take a few calls on this. Sean calling from Las Vegas. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Good.
I just had a question. I saw that Anquan Boldin's ready to come back, I think, for his 15th season in the NFL, and I mean, he was really productive in Detroit last year. I think he'd come in, be a great mentor for our young receivers, and he's great in the run blocking game. I was just wondering what you guys think about that.
I've always loved Anquan Boldin. You know, he's up there in age. I've just checked earlier today on, you know, he was a 1-year deal in Detroit last year for like $2.7 million. Boy, if the Bills could squeeze him in, Donald, I would love that, and maybe they have to wait a little bit before they get to the number they want, but I would think Anquan Boldin would bring a lot to not just this receiving corps, but any receiving corps in the NFL. I know he's old.
Yeah, even though he's older, he's still a guy who can get it done, you know, and you had the leadership aspect, but Anquan Boldin was never the fastest receiver. He was a guy who gritted everything out. You know, he can catch the ball, like sure-handed receiver. He can make any team better running in that slot position. Would you love to have him here? Yeah. The question becomes, you know, what does he want? What type of number is he asking for? You know, does he want to come to a team now that you're talking about might play a lot of two receiver sets? You know, so he might not get that much playing time. These are the things that he's going to look at, because if he's coming back for another year, he wants to play. You know, he might not want to be on the field every down, but he wants to be in those three receiver sets where he can run that slot. And so if you have a team like the Bills who might not run the slot as much, does he want to come here?
Yeah, good point. A couple of more tweets on this. Jack tweets in, the Bills should really look to add one more wide receiver like Kamar Aiken, and a cornerback. Can you discuss a few of the names at both still out there? Any updates on your recruitment of Kamar Aiken?
No, man. He, you know,
you can't make the big. You can't have the big conversation with Kamar.
I can't have the big conversation with him. Yeah, exactly. Which is money. And so, you know, it's out of my hands. You know, I let him know that obviously they don't really have a number two. They don't have a sure number three right now. You know, we're talking about Corey Brown as possibly being that number three. He's going to have to compete for that. Kamar Aiken could come in here and be your number two or number three receiver right away. You know, and he's produced for Baltimore when he had to step up and be their number one. He really produced for them. So, you know, I would love for him to come here. Plus, you know, my guy Marcus is not here anymore.
Right.
Naaman is up in Canada, so I need somebody.
That's another reason to sign him. As far as cornerbacks in free agency, look, they don't have a lot of money left. And who's left? I mean, the top ones are gone. Bouye, Logan Ryan, Gilmore. Morris Claiborne has been linked to the Ravens, and earlier today reported that the Ravens are going to sign him, I guess, right?
Yep.
Former first-rounder, right?
Former first-rounder, Morris Claiborne. He's made some plays out there, and he's been kind of inconsistent, though, you know, for Dallas. He's had good years. He's had some questionable years. But I think, you know, he might make a little money out there down there in Baltimore.
I'm trying to think any other corners who might be available to the Bills. Brandon Carr. Yeah, I would look for a draft pick at corner more than I would a free agent.
It's so corner heavy and, like, DB heavy, safety and corner, that you can get a good player in later in the round, you know, third, fourth, fifth round. Especially to come in and play like a cover two, you just need a guy who's smart. A guy who can come in and really understand the defense, understand what they're trying to do and what the offenses are trying to do to you. If you get a smart guy can play in this system.
Yeah. Here's a call from Steven. Hello, Steven. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going, John?
Good.
Donald.
Good.
I have a question and a comment for you, Mike.
Go ahead, Steven. You're on the air.
Sorry about that.
Sure.
My comment is about your Twitter poll for today. I would have to vote for Steven Hauschka. Reason for it is I think his impact on the roster is he's going to hopefully free up a roster spot by eliminating Jordan Gay's position on the roster as a kickoff specialist. And then the question I have for you two gentlemen is kind of picking up on yesterday's show with the wide receivers that are coming out. And I was just curious as to your opinion on John Ross. I know that Tyrod throws a great deep ball, and John Ross with the 40 time and just his overall college performance at Washington, I think he'd be a good fit and maybe somebody we could trade back later in the first round to pick up and grab some extra picks.
Yeah,
listen to you guys' thoughts.
Okay, thanks, Steven. Good points. I think that is the plan for Hauschka to handle kickoffs, and and I think you're right, frees up a roster spot. It's, you know, the Bills got by with that a couple of years, I guess they got by with it, but it's time to turn the page. It's a lot to ask to have a two kicking specialist. So yeah, I think Hauschka is the guy. Really,
yeah, can handle both. It makes sense, man. You now free up in a position where you can use that somewhere else on this team. So you have a guy who's played in a big game, who's played in, you know, Super Bowls and things like that. I mean, you got to count on that guy to make field goals for you. He's been reliable for Seattle for years now, you know, so I'm happy to have him here, and hope he might be the biggest difference on his team. He could be.
Yeah, maybe the most impact.
He might be, like, have the most impact on his team. As far as John Ross, you know, I tweeted the day John Ross and you know, you could put, I guess I put some hate in his whole thing, but
yeah, really, that surprised me, Donald. That's not like you. The guy tears it up at the combine, has like eye-popping numbers at the combine, sets records. Everybody's excited, and Donald throws cold water on the whole thing by saying,
that's right.
"What'd you say, son? There's more to being a receiver than just running, didn't you?"
I definitely didn't say son.
Well, that was the tone you took. Like, listen to me. Listen to the old grizzled veteran. I've been down this road before. Come on, that's what I got out of it.
You know, just because you run a 4.22, how many guys you see run that fast can actually play football and can play wide receiver in this game? You know, it's not an easy thing to do. You have to see him actually run routes in this league. And, you know, just because you run a 4.22 doesn't mean that you can play receiver in this league. You might be able to run past people, but that's really all you can do at this point. You have to really learn how to run NFL routes. That's something that he's going to have to learn how to do. So do you take him at, you know, in the first round? I don't know. Plus, he's about to have a labrum surgery or something like that.
Yep.
He's had a chronic knee issue, and he's about to have surgery on his shoulder. So you don't even know how long he's going to be out.
All the haters on Twitter out there, I guess I didn't make you for one of them, Donald, but there you were.
Within
minutes, he put up that 4.22, and within 4 seconds later, you put up your little angry tweet.
Well, you know, I actually – my first tweet was like, wow, 4.22, that's amazing. And then the second tweet was, pump your brakes a little bit. So, I gave them both sides of it.
Unbelievable. I didn't mark you for that kind of a guy. Speaking of
you
Twitter.
Know, if you don't have haters, you're not doing things the right way.
Yeah, well, I guess we're doing great then. Speaking of Twitter, a couple of people to point about via Twitter that today is an anniversary of sorts, Donald. It was 4 years ago today, according to some of our Twitter followers, that Buffalo wide receiver Donald Jones signed with the New England Patriots 4 years ago today. Were you aware of that?
I wasn't.
Do you remember where you were? So it was March 15th, 2013.
Right.
Donald Jones let go by the Bills. 4 years ago today, according to Twitter. The people, 3:15, 13.
People really like to do some research, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I know, imagine. 4 years ago today.
It was 4 years ago today. I mean, you know, it was an interesting day. Interesting day out there in New England. And believe me, I heard from Bills fans that day. We talked about, you know, Twitter and how crazy Twitter can be, especially if you're an athlete. Bills fans let me have it that day.
What do they expect you to do? Just not.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, you know, if they're paying.
Yeah.
People.
Did you go to New England the day before, visit, dinner, and do all that? You told the story of the guy picking you up and said, hey, we expect to win here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have said, well, duh, they do everywhere.
They do everywhere. Right? No, he was like, listen, we know we're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We just want to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's their mindset every single year. Yeah, I remember the entire thing. They picked me up from the airport. I went straight to the hospital, and then we went to dinner and, you know, met with the coaching staff and all that stuff.
4 years ago.
Four years ago today.
Turns New England Patriot for a while. All right, we're going to talk probably a little more about that, but mostly about the Bills and where they turn now in free agency. And what do you think is the most impactful signing they have made so far in free agency? You know the list. We can go through it again if you'd like, but give us your thoughts. The most, the biggest impact they'll get out of the free agents they've signed, where will it come from so far? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll free 1-888-552-550. We're just underway from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back. John Murphy, Donald Jones, the show presented by Napa Auto Parts, back from One Bills Drive, Snowy Orchard Park. Want to hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Talking about free agency, you wonder if the Bills have, you know, if they've got anything left in their ammunition to sign any more free agents.
Piggy bank?
Yeah.
Scrape up all the coins from under the couch.
They might. Which Bills free agent signing could have the biggest impact? Right now, that's our Twitter poll. That's what we want to talk with you about. With 670 votes in on the Twitter poll, 81% of you say the safety, Micah Howd. 12% say the kicker, Stephen Hauschka. 4% say somebody else. 2% say Corey Brown, the wide receiver. Give us your thoughts at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550 or via Twitter. And we've had a couple of tweets of people on this issue. Let me see. Lindsey Kelly tweets in, I think the better question is it the player himself who makes the impact or how the coaching staff decides to use him?
Good point.
Yeah, it is a good point.
Good point.
Yeah. And you would think that most teams do this. The Bills have done this. They're looking to match the need and the scheme with some of the free agents they've gone out there and signed, right? I mean, I would think that Micah Hyde has been thoroughly vetted as a safety who can play in this defense and contribute in this defense.
You know, something that nobody's really talked about, and we talked about this in the offices, is how many people he's brought over from NFC teams.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that makes a big difference, if there's like a difference in football in the NFC than the AFC, but if you look at most of the guys he's brought to this team, it's been from NFC teams.
You're right. Is there that much difference between the conferences, you think?
I don't know. Is it the same as like baseball where you have, you know, the American League and the National
different
League
game.
It's a little bit different? Yeah. I don't know
about that. This is an interesting tweet, too, and we didn't talk about this. We talked about the players who are getting away or have gotten away. Robert Bernard tweets him, I think it would be very foolish not to match the offer for Ryan Groy. He is a great asset to the offensive line no matter where. Mm-hmm. As you know, yesterday or two nights ago anyway, the Rams signed Ryan Groy to an offer sheet, and the Bills have to decide. I believe they have until Sunday to decide whether to match it. They do have a right of first refusal and the ability to match. And it was brought up yesterday on the show, and it's a very valid point with Eric Wood in the final year of his contract coming up. The Bills maybe should have a preemptive move and get Ryan Groy signed to a manageable contract if they can.
Right.
And, you know, backstop themselves after Eric Wood's contract runs out. I think it's going to be a question of money. And the offer sheet, which I just flipped off the desk here, but I know it was $5.5 million over 2 years, right? With, I think, $3.5 million guaranteed.
It was $5.5 million over 2 years. Yeah. So now you look at Groy, and Groy is a guy who can be a starter for you once that contract runs out. He can be a starter for you for the next however many years. He can play guard. He can play center. He can play everything, really, right, across that offensive line, maybe with the exception of left tackle. But if you can get a guy like that, and you know at some point he's going to be a starter, and you have him at, you know, not starter money, that's good. That's good for your team. You know, that is bargain shopping right there.
You wonder, there are those who would tell you, we talked about this morning, that, you know what, say goodbye to Eric Wood now and plug Ryan Gray in. And they played the seven games with Ryan Gray at center. They got by that way and did okay. He did okay, but I'm not ready to put Eric Wood at the curb. I think that would be a pretty big mistake, but you never know.
Yeah, you definitely never know in this business because it is a business and they make business choices. They could say, listen, we're going to go ahead and let Eric Wood go, and then you sign Groy, and you have a little bit more money to play with, and you can go out and sign somebody else. That could be their thought process. I wouldn't be shocked if that's the way they went. For me, you know, it makes sense to bring Groy back, and even if Eric Wood is here for one more year,
yeah,
at least you know you have a guy who is coming up next who's going to step in and be that starter.
Here's a call from Jose in Buffalo. Welcome, Jose. Thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning.
Afternoon. Yeah.
Afternoon. There you go. My thing is this. I wanted to touch on what you had to say, but I think they're going to probably bring Groy back as far as, like, the versatility-wise, because you look at what McDermott's doing. McDermott loves versatility players. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they would be stupid not to bring Groy back. But as far as, like, my biggest, signings for the, you know, the free agents this year, I'm gonna take a leap and say both Tolbert and Lorenzo Alexander, as far as like changing the culture here and basically character. You know what I mean? They're two character players that are gonna be big in that locker room. Are gonna be big voices, and you can't take away from that. You know what I mean? As far as what I gained from McDermott. Every news conference that he's had, you know, from the little he had, that, you know, he's always touched on character, changing the culture, and then bringing players in that are just, you know, be leaders. And I just think Tolbert and Alexander fit that mold perfectly. So those are my two favorites for the free agents this year.
Okay. Jose, thanks. Good points.
Yep.
As far as, you know, you said Ryan Groy, it's not a question of being stupid. You know, you said it'd be stupid if they didn't bring him back. It'd be a case of money if they didn't bring him back. Can they afford him? I actually had a brief chat with Doug Whaley earlier today when he was out there, with a lot of scouts watching the UB Pro Day. And I asked him about Gray, and he said, yeah, we're going to talk about that today. As a matter of fact, we're going to look into that. So it's not like, oh my goodness, Ryan Gray got away from us. It's, let's see, can we make this work? I think that's kind of where they're at with Ryan
Gray. You
have
to make it work for your team. You know, and it's going to come down to the money, how they view Eric Wood moving forward. Those are both things that really come into that whole decision. I would think that Groy is a guy who you can look at and say, listen, he can step in and be a starter. If one of these guys goes down this year, you know Groy can step in and be a starter this year. But then next year he can be that successor to Eric Wood or even Richie. You know, Richie's getting up there in age, you know, so these are the different things that they have to look at. Does it make sense? Money-wise, if we can make it happen this year, it makes sense because now you have a starter, a future starter for, you know, backup money, I guess.
And his other point, Jose's point, and I agree with him 100% about the signings of Mike Tolbert and the re-signing, the retention of Lorenzo Alexander. Clearly, you know, older veterans, culture changes at work there. We had Lorenzo on the show, Monday, and to hear him talk about becoming more vocal now that he's been here a year, now that he knows the landscape, the lay of the land, I mean, it's almost like he knows that that's the role that he's been asked to do and that they're going to want him to do, to be a vocal presence now. And, you know, I still think about it was maybe the second to last or last week of the season when Lorenzo talked about guys eating in meeting rooms and falling asleep.
It was that last week.
Yeah, and he said
that after Rex was gone.
Yeah. He said, I won't let that happen again when he was with us the other day. And that's good. That's kind of culture change you need, I think.
Yeah, you definitely need those guys who are vocal on the team. But a guy that everyone on the team respects. You know, it's not like Lorenzo's coming in here, he's a bad guy. No, he's a great dude to be around. He's gotten it done. He's now been to a couple Pro Bowls. He got to the Pro Bowl last year. He had a bunch of sacks. So everybody on his team is going to look up to him. And the fact that he's going to be more vocal, that's huge because, like we talked about, Coach McDermott can try to come in here and say, listen, we're going to change the culture. But it doesn't change unless you have leaders on the team, that it has to trickle down to the players, right? And so having a guy like Lorenzo, having a guy like, you know, Tolbert and Kyle Williams on the offensive side of the ball, Wood and Tyrod and those guys, it's huge for this team when you're trying to change the culture in this entire building. I'm interested to just see Tolbert, though, because he, you know, his personality is funny. I just want to laugh and joke with him.
A tweet, this is interesting. We talked about, it was 4 years ago today that our buddy Donald here went to the Evil Empire and signed with the New England Patriots. And a tweet here from Dr. Jekyll. This is a good question. What kind of questions did Belichick discuss during his interview with you, Donald? Was he more animated than he is with the media? What do you recall?
Not really.
No?
No. I spent a lot more time with the assistant coaches. I didn't go into Belichick's room until, you know, it was like, listen, do you want to be here? Do you want to play with Tom Brady? That's basically all he said. You know, do you want to play with Tom Brady? And do you want to be a Patriot? And, you know, obviously the answers were yes and yes. And he was like, all right, we're going to try to work out the money. We're going to keep you here overnight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. That was it.
Did you find yourself, like, leaning in, straining to hear him? Was he mumbling?
You know, he was speaking low, very low. And this office is – he has a big office. And it was quiet, and he still couldn't hear him. Like, Coach, what you saying? I didn't hear what you said. Say
again,
that
Coach?
One more time?
Yeah.
Nah, but, you know, his what you see on TV is really what you get from him around the building. Now, when he gets to practice, it's a little different.
Uh-huh.
You know, he will go off on you in practice. It's a lot more animated in practice. News conference, press conferences and stuff like that. I mean, it's a little bit different than what you see in practice. I hope he's not like that with his family. I don't think you could be. I mean, like, but sheesh, you can't be like that with your family, right? Like, his wife is talking to
Pass
him.
The
he's
beans,
like,
please.
Right, exactly.
It's on to lunch. Did he yell at you in practice?
Like, no, not me personally. He yelled at the entire offense once. Well, a lot. He yelled. He went off on us because one of the linemen jumped off sides, and he made all of us run. He made the coaching staff run, the entire coaching staff, the trainers. Like, he made everybody run, you know. And the coaching staff, they got upset because we all had to run. And then when we got back from running, they took it out on us. It was bad. It was bad, man.
Patriot stories. Call here from Steve in Syracuse. Hello, Steve. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Thanks, John. In the Roy situation. Okay. The difference in him and Andre Smith, who recently went back to the Bengals. What's the difference in the two players, as far as quality? If you lose Smith, you get Groy. You might have a better player anyway than Smith.
Well, and I want Donald to chime in on this. The big difference to me, Donald, is age. You know, Andre Smith
right.
is 30 years old. Groy is, I'm going to guess, in his mid 20s or so. There's accomplishment. Andre Smith is a former first-round pick who played seven pretty solid years with the Bengals, and Groy's just kind of getting his feet under him as far as an NFL career.
Yeah,
and there's the versatility
position.
Issue.
Yeah, too. The versatility. I mean, Groy is a guy who can play everything, and you want to have that. Andre Smith is a guy who plays right tackle. Like, that's his position. So when you look at it, it's like the value for your team. Do you want to have a guy who can play everything, or do you want to have a guy who just plays one position? Now, when you're talking about a starter – you would like to have a guy who, like, this is his position. He's mastered playing right tackle. So, yeah, it would have been great to have Andre Smith and Groy on his team. I mean, money-wise, you just can't make that happen. But,
right.
You know, Groy can step in and play right tackle if needed. And that's a great thing to have for a team, I believe.
I don't know what the figures are or going to be in Cincinnati with Andre Smith. It seems to me, with a guy like that, you wind up paying for his past performance than
right.
potential. Whereas Ryan Groy, you know, you have a chance to get a guy, as you mentioned, on a pretty favorable deal for the team, and a guy who has a chance to get better. I think, obviously, Andre Smith is topped out in terms of his potential.
Yeah, he's definitely topped out in terms of his potential. I think Groy can definitely get better. And once he steps in and becomes a starter somewhere, I would think that's when he's going to start to really settle in and get a lot better in his game. He's already good at what he does. You know, he can play all the positions. He's going to step in at some point, whether it's here, whether it's in L.A., and be a starter, and you're going to see him become a good player in this league.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a special report from KeyBank Center downtown. As you know by now, the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament is setting up shop here in Buffalo. They have the shoot-arounds going on. The day before the game, practice is going on right now at KeyBank Center, and our buddy Lauren Hall is standing by to take us there. So stick around. That's coming up next, along with more football talk right here on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're back live from One Bills Drive, snowy Orchard Park. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock today. UB football coach Lance Leipold is going to join us at 2 o'clock. Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Donald, you're on your own tomorrow. Actually, you got Sal Capaccio in with you tomorrow because I'm using off day to watch some basketball tomorrow. I'm excited.
Watch some basketball.
Just thinking about some of the games.
I can't believe you're leaving us here to go watch basketball.
Yeah, well, it's big. The tournament is big. Four games tomorrow starting at just afternoon. Notre Dame and Princeton, followed by West Virginia and Bucknell, 2:45. Looking forward to that game, watching West Virginia.
Two Ivy League teams in?
No, Princeton's Ivy League. Bucknell is Patriot League, I believe.
Oh, okay. Might as well be Ivy League.
Yeah, West Virginia is Big 12. They just run up and down the floor and press. I had an experience a couple of years ago.
Coach Huggins?
Of sitting behind Coach Huggins. I think it was on press row. The most creative use of swear words I've ever heard from one person. It was great. And I look forward to seeing some of that tomorrow afternoon.
Are you sitting that close?
No. I'll be up a little bit this time. Villanova tomorrow night, the top seed in the East region and the defending national champs. They should make short work of Mount St. Mary's, who won last night. And this game interests me, too. Wisconsin, an 8-9 game. Wisconsin, I've always admired the way Wisconsin has played for decades now, back when Tony Bennett was the head coach. And they're still playing well. They lost in the Big Ten championship game just Sunday afternoon. That's the late game on Thursday. Tickets still available, by the way, at ncaa.com/MBB tickets for the tournament in Buffalo, KeyBank Center in Buffalo.
Did you see Mount St. Mary's play last night?
I didn't. I just saw highlights today.
They had two guards that looked like they were like 5'5". One of them can jump out the gym, but they're just scrappy players. You know, I mean, obviously, they're playing Villanova, so.
They're going to have their hands full.
Yeah, they're going to have their hands full. But those two short guards, man, they're scrappy dudes.
Today is the shoot-around day, the practice day, and going on right now downtown, Bucknell should be on the floor. The Bucknell Bison should be on the floor after Princeton shot before them. And our buddy Lauren Hall from Pagoula Sports and Entertainment was down there as well, setting the scene for men's college basketball, tournament basketball in Buffalo. Let's go to Lauren Hall at KeyBank Center.
Hey, Murph and Donald. The court is laid down here at KeyBank Center, and today is the first day that the eight teams that are here in Buffalo to kick off their NCAA run will get a chance to finally practice on it. The practices are free and open to the public. They go until 7:20 this evening, so if it's safe for you to get down here to the arena, come down and enjoy a little bit of free basketball before the real madness begins. Now, a lot of the teams did arrive here to town early, so yesterday they had to find other places to practice. West Virginia worked out at Damon College, while Bucknell practiced at Medei College, and Princeton, Villanova, and Virginia Tech all held their practices at Canisius College. That was before Coach Buzz Williams of Virginia Tech took his Hokies to One Bills Drive for a tour of our facilities and a pep talk from Coach Sean McDermott last night. But today is that traditional NCAA practice day. Each of the teams will have 40 minutes on this court here at KeyBank Center. And again, those are free and open to the public. Now, every time this event comes to Buffalo, it draws so many sports fans here. And right now, we want to bring in President and CEO of Visit Buffalo Niagara, Patrick Keller. Patrick, about how many visitors are we expecting this weekend?
Well, we know that the arena holds over 19,000 people. So we're expecting to have a big number of those to be actually out-of-towners and fans coming in for the tournament.
Why is this such a great opportunity to show off Buffalo?
Oh, this is a great opportunity because we get the national TV coverage all the days of the tournament. Plus, having all of these people actually get to come here and experience Buffalo firsthand. And they go back and talk about their experience in Buffalo, and they tell their friends and family, you've got to go to Buffalo. It's a really good time.
What kind of things specifically do you hope that all of these sports fans leave this weekend saying about our city?
Well, I'm really excited about the fact that when we had the tournament in 2014, Harbor Center, Canal Side were all construction site. And so they're going to really see a new Buffalo. There's been so much new activity, 25 new restaurants in the downtown core, 5 new hotels. There are people who are actually living downtown, so there's so much activity now with the breweries, the restaurants, the attractions. So it's a great time, and I think that's what they're going to go back with and say, I didn't expect this to be Buffalo. You've got to go. It's a really good time.
A little blustery out there today, but from a Visitors Bureau perspective, that's not necessarily a bad thing as long as everyone's safe, right?
Exactly. This would probably be our version of a Chamber of Commerce Day to actually have snow to meet those expectations for people who are going to come here thinking that we'll have snow. We'll actually have some snow on the ground.
All right, Patrick, thank you so much. We know it's a big weekend for Visit Buffalo Niagara, a big weekend for all sports fans here in Buffalo. There are still some tickets available for the NCAA games here. You can visit the KeyBank Center box office for more information on that. And once again, free practices run all all day until 7:20 this evening, so come on down as long as it's safe for you to get here to Key Bank Center. For now, we'll send it back to you at One Bills Drive.
Okay, Lauren Hall down at Key Bank Center. I like what Patrick Keller said there, too, Donald. You know what? Look, there's snow all over the east, so nobody can say, Buffalo's getting snow.
Buffalo.
Right, and now they're getting a taste of Buffalo in the snow and how Buffalo handles the snow. I think people are going to – and there's eight schools. That's the best thing about first and second rounds. Eight schools, their fan bases, their teams, their followers, they're all going to get a taste of Buffalo, and I'm pretty confident they'll get a pretty good impression, even with the snow.
Even with the snow, yeah. I mean, they're going to get a good impression of downtown and what it's like, and – it'd be good for those guys. I wonder, like, how much they can actually get out into town. They're still in college, right? So they probably have crazy curfews and stuff.
Curfews. They have shoot-arounds. I'm sure they build in study time, right?
Yeah.
In the hotels and stuff. But
what school was it that has their
Princeton. They had some midterms. Some guys had midterms to take. Very interesting. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little tournament basketball with our guest, Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. But there's a lot going on here at One Bills Drive to talk with Thurman about as well. And we'll talk more about the free agents and who's the most impactful free agent the Bills have signed to date. You're welcome to join us. Phone us up, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas standing by joins us next on the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, quiet on the free agency front, but a couple of Bills, former Bills anyway, looking around the league. Zach Brown, Buffalo linebacker, went to the Pro Bowl, is scheduled to visit the Oakland Raiders. Round 48th on Pro Football Talk's list of 100 top free agents still out there. Went to the Pro Bowl after 149 tackles and 4 sacks for the Bills last season. Zach Brown set to visit the Oakland Raiders. The Steelers plan to sign wide receiver Justin Hunter away from the Bills. He has bounced around the league. A former second-round pick of Tennessee back in 2013, Justin Hunter, just 25 years of age, played in 12 games, 5 starts for the Bills last year, caught 10 passes, 4 of them for touchdowns. Another receiver, Percy Harvin, who played for the Bills last season, is ready to retire for real this time. He is not participating in free agency this year. He's done playing, according to his agent. And Andre Smith, the former first-round pick, the offensive lineman, is going to go back to Cincinnati, reportedly, ready to rejoin the Bengals after spending one season with the Minnesota Vikings. Smith came to Buffalo earlier this week for a free agent visit, but he is going to sign with the Cincinnati Bengals. Buffalo Sabres lost in San Jose last night by a score of 4-1. First game of their 3-game California road trip. Robin Leonard with 37 saves. The Sharks scored 4 unanswered goals to win it. Jack Eichel picked up his 20th goal of the season, only the 8th player in Sabres history to score 20 or more goals in each of his first two NHL seasons. Sabres back at practice today in Los Angeles. They play the Kings tomorrow night in L.A. at 10:30. The NCAA tournament underway. The action comes to Buffalo tomorrow. Last night, Mount St. Mary's held on for a win over the University of New Orleans in the first four play in Dayton, Ohio. So Mount St. Mary's reward, a trip to Buffalo to play the top-seeded Villanova Wildcats. Tomorrow at the KeyBank Center, that game will be tomorrow night. Two more games in the afternoon tomorrow. Notre Dame plays Princeton just after noon, followed by West Virginia and Bucknell. Then it's Villanova, Mount St. Mary's, and Wisconsin and Virginia Tech. The NCAA tournament with practice open to the public right now at KeyBank Center, free and open to the public with who we got? Bucknell on the floor, the Bucknell Bison on the floor at the arena right now. John Murphy, Donald Jones at our One Bills Drive studio, and joining us in studio right now, Hall of Fame running back for the Buffalo Bills, Thurman Thomas, giggling about something. I can't even get through
I showed him Lonzo Ball's dad.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, got to get your thoughts on it, Thurman.
Yeah, so tell the story first, Donald. Lonzo Ball, who, by the way, UCLA is going to be a really fun team to watch. Ball is probably the best he's player in the country.
He probably is. He's going to go either one or two
but your draft, delicate but sensibilities were, Donald, were, you know, you were offended by his, what's his father's name, LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
I have a son. Thurman, you have sons. You have sons.
I have two of them, yeah.
And you raise your kids how you raise your kids. For me, if you want to raise your kids and you want them to believe that they're the best in everything that they do, but you still got to be humble about it. And my biggest thing is now the story's about him. Like, he's the one that's all over ESPN. It's not his kids, you know. So, I don't know. What's your thoughts on
it? I have no thoughts about it, really. I mean, it's just one of those situations, you know, where you kind of hate for the parent to get involved with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid is what? I mean, you got, what, 2 in high school, one probably getting ready to be a top 3, maybe the first pick of the draft coming out. And you know, there's already enough pressure on the kid already, and then you're just building it up, building it up. Just let the kid just go out and play.
Right.
And, you know, and I think, you know, and I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't backfire.
Yeah.
Because people will shy away from stuff like this when, you know, you got a, mm-hmm. a parent who is just out there just – and I know he loves his kids or whatever. I mean, he wants the best for his kid, the best deals. I mean, he's already talking about $1 billion for the three kids. I mean,
shoe deals. Yeah.
Shoe deals. I mean, there's only two kids. There's only two players right now that are worth that.
Yeah. Right.
Michael Jordan and LeBron James. That's
one of,
it.
One of them hasn't played in 10 years.
Right, and he's still worth yeah. whatever. So I, you know what? I leave it alone and just let it play out.
Hey.
We've seen this situation before, and it worked out beautifully. For Serena and Venus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember when their dad came out?
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
But I think that was kind of a different. He said it and then backed off. Mm-hmm. He backed off and let his daughters just play. And
Thurman,
turned
you're
out
right,
to be great.
Right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're kind of in a similar position as a parent. Thurman, your son Thurman III, is a really good baseball player, right? And I'm
yeah.
sure people look at him and project him as a big, a fairly good baseball player down the road. You could be that guy if you wanted to, especially with your profile now. But
yeah. I'm not that guy.
I know
you know
not.
What? It's my son. It's his career.
Right.
You know, I can only guide him so far. You know, he has coaches. He has other players, other teammates. So that's up him for him to decide, you know, how far he wants to take this. If he want to go to the batting cage every single day, I'll be more than happy to take him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all his decision on how far he want to take his baseball career. College, he wants to go to Vanderbilt. So –
He does.
Yeah, he wants to go to Vanderbilt. So
that's good.
I'm like, well, first thing first, you gotta get your grades up. Grades have to be right.
But Vanderbilt won the national championship like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that what it got him into Vanderbilt? Or
well, it's that, and he loves their uniforms.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good reason.
He loves their uniforms. So.
You know, like I said, he's made the story about him. And if you remember, he said he would have killed Michael Jordan in the 1-on-1.
Yeah. Okay.
And you look at his stats from when he played, he had like he averaged 2.2 points a game. He was like 45% free throws.
Where did he play? I don't even.
He played at Cal, I believe.
I don't
he played
really
at Cal.
Keep up with it.
He transferred to a couple of different schools, but he never played, basically.
This is something that has resonated with you, Donald.
Clearly,
this is a father who's trying to make himself relevant.
Yes, he
at
is.
The expense of his
and I understand, you know, you're marketing everything for your kids, but you're really making this all about yourself, and it's not about his kids. You look at even look at Steph Curry and his dad. Like, his dad sits back. He's like, listen, this is his career.
His dad was a good player, too.
And his dad was a good
Curry
player.
Was a really
right.
good player.
You know? So it's,
I think he averaged more than 2 points, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And the only other one that comes to my mind, and Kobe Bryant, obviously, was one of the all-time greats. His dad was a good basketball player. I remember his dad playing.
Yeah, Jelly Bean.
Yeah, but you never heard much about him once Kobe got going, right?
No, not at all.
All right, so we got that out of the way. Thurman Thomas is in the studio with us. We're welcome. While on the topic of basketball, Thurman, your alma mater, Oklahoma State, is playing a team that I'm quite fond of, the Michigan Wolverines, Friday, 12:15 on Friday. Would you care to make a wager on the outcome of that game? Maybe we shouldn't do it on the air, but can we talk later?
Yeah, we already made
it. Oh,
we already made
it. $500 wager.
Oh, you're throwing it out there now. Next, you're going to be talking about my taxes, right?
Exactly. I have your 2005 tax returns right here, Thurman, from some reporter that no one's ever heard of. Thurman Thomas, 2005 tax
returns. Boy, this has really turned into something.
But what do you think? You follow Oklahoma State basketball as well?
I followed them this year pretty well. They had a rough start at the beginning of the year, but really turned it on. Didn't get too far in the Big 12 tournament, but I think they're seeded number 10 right now. So going up against Michigan. So, yeah, I think it's I think they're right where they're supposed to be at number 10 seed. And, but I haven't seen Michigan play at all this year, so I don't really know too much about them.
I know a little bit. I watch almost every game.
Oh, yeah, really?
Well, my buddy coach is there, so Donald's seen me. That's my team. You know, it's the only – you know, we work here and everything, but the team that I root for most of the time is Michigan basketball. And by the way, Michigan scores a lot of points, as does Oklahoma State. This game could be in the 90s on Friday.
Which is crazy because he went to Syracuse.
Right. Well, my buddy's coaching in Michigan, though. You know,
I understand that.
Get with your buddies, right?
Yeah, I don't really say too much about Syracuse basketball around it. People get upset.
They do.
I learned that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I said something about Syracuse basketball. And, boy, everybody's been at me ever since. So I don't really say too much about it.
People don't forget things, right?
They don't forget at all. Not
especially
at
on
all.
Twitter. Like,
right.
You had somebody just tell us earlier that four years ago today was the day I signed with the Patriots. Like, come on.
Yeah, that was a big day for Donald and a big day for Bills fans who haven't forgotten that he
exactly.
went to the Patriots.
They don't forget things.
Almost as bad as the day you signed with the Dolphins.
Though. Really? That's just like somebody going from UPS to Federal Express. You know, I mean, you do it because it's your job. It's your livelihood, right?
Right. I agree. I agree. You guys get that, but sometimes fans don't understand.
I can only imagine what Stephon's Twitter mentions were the day he signed with the Patriots.
Oh, man. We've been having a long conversation the day that he signed. Oh, yeah. We've been going back and forth, and yeah, he's been getting hit pretty hard.
I'm sure he has.
He's been getting hit pretty hard. And but it's one of those things where, you know, it's just strange how a lot of people didn't think that he was a good football player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that he was great, but I think he was good at the 5 years that he was here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, people look at that a little bit differently, but I wish we could have kept him, but I understand the salary cap situation that we wouldn't be able to afford him. So, hey, happy for him. Obviously, he's going to a great organization with the Patriots. With number 12 right there. So,
right, yeah.
More power to him, you know.
Yeah, I talked to him the day.
I'll be booing him once he gets here and when they play the Patriots. So.
Sure.
I talked to him the day he signed. You know, he was excited about it. He had a daughter the same day
right.
that he signed. And he was like, listen, now I got to go out here and really prove that I'm worth this money.
He named his daughter Giselle.
Really?
That's her name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, When I talked to him about it, he said – we had this name 2 years ago.
Wow.
Because they thought they were having a girl then, when they had a boy, Sebastian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they already had the name picked out. It just happened that he signed with them the day of, and his wife had a baby the next day. And
he has no need to suck up the baby. If he were a receiver, I could see that. Dude. Right? Name my daughter after your wife. Throw me the ball. Thurman Thomas in studio with us. You're welcome to join us. Throw me the ball in practice time. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Thurman's in studio with us for a little while today, so we've put the basketball aside. Now we're into free agency. I wonder, Thurman, and you mentioned it with Donald and him going to the Patriots and took us right into Stephon Gilmore. Players make decisions for their own benefit. They should at this time. And it's difficult, I think, for fans, but this is the time of year when players get a chance to do that. You were started in an era when there was no free agency.
Yeah, it wasn't in free agency. And, you know, people, you know, it's a tough situation to be in sometimes. I mean, how many times do you hear players talking about, I'm not taking a hometown discount?
Yeah,
you're not doing that. You don't want to do that. I mean, this is your livelihood, and you want to be able to make as much money, if I heard you say this before, mm-hmm. make as much money as you possibly can for as long as you can. Mm-hmm. And there's the opportunity there where guys will leave, guys will go look at other teams. And I think also you have to look at the salary cap situation too. I mean, it's not really that good here.
Yeah.
And so Stephon and whoever leaves here know that they can't get – what they're worth here, they'd be able to get it somewhere else. Right. And that's why you see these players leave. And you always heard Doug Whalen say you want to keep your own, but with the salary cap situation, you're not able to do that.
You're not. And in this league, man, you get like one opportunity to make money like that, you know, and it's a short window of time. It's not like you're a brain surgeon where you're going to do this for the rest of your life and make, you know, millions of dollars a year. You get one opportunity to make this money. It can change your life for the rest of your life, you know? So that's why you see guys like, man, I got to get paid. I can get that money there. Plus, he's now going to a team that has won, what, 5 Super Bowls?
Yeah, and don't look like number 12 is slowing down anytime soon. So they could end up with 6 or 7 mm-hmm. in the next couple of years. But I think one of the things that you're looking at right now is that, and it goes back to this Brock Osweiler contract. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to start looking at these quarterbacks now and say, you know what, I'm going to give you this. You're going to have to earn that second contract now.
Right.
I think that the league is kind of turned around and not really giving these players these big-time contracts anymore. How much did Josh Norman get last year, like 70-something million?
Yeah. Crazy money.
Yeah, just crazy money, you know. I don't think you're going to see a lot of those contracts like that anymore.
And we talked to Mike Giannitti about this. Last week,
yeah.
You know, the teams and players now are thinking more on the terms of shorter 2-year deals.
Right.
You know, get your cash up front mm-hmm. and do it again, you know, and prove it. Prove to us that you can play. You're worth this type of money. And that's especially that Brock Osweiler thing is crazy the way that's happening. Like, don't know. Yeah, they basically like, just get them off our books. Please, somebody take them off our books.
Yeah, that was, I tell you, that was a Bill Belichick move done by O'Brien with the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us, and we've talked a lot about Gilmore leaving. Obviously, Aaron Williams was released. Corey Graham released the other day. We have a call from Fairport, New York. Ronnie in Fairport wants to talk about the Buffalo secondary. Ronnie, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hi, I'd like to talk about how they cut Corey Graham. This is his last year in the Bills. And also, why did they fire Rex Ryan? He had a huge penis.
Thanks for calling, Ronnie. They are changing the secondary a lot, Thurman, and it indicates a couple of things. When you get a new coaching staff, they're going to put in their own scheme, and they're probably looking at Aaron Williams and Corey Graham and figuring they might not just fit in to what we want to do. And, of course, Aaron has the neck injury history along with that.
Yeah, it was tough to but I think the Bills were kind of put in a tough situation. I think Aaron probably should have made a decision of what he wanted to do. I know it came out now. He said that he's not done or whatever. But, you're talking about a neck injury. You're talking about maybe probably a totally different scheme here with the Buffalo Bills. If you look at Sean McDermott's defense in Carolina, wasn't a lot of man-to-man, a lot of zone. And you heard Stephon Gilmore talk about it with Josh Norman, being in a system instead of playing man-to-man. So I think with the signings that they've had over the past couple of weeks, I think they're building toward that. I think they're getting guys in here who are veteran guys who have been. I heard you guys talk about it earlier. Hyde, been in the playoffs, been there with Aaron Rodgers. Saw Aaron Rodgers tweeted out at him, good luck, you deserve it. You know, so you're getting a high-quality football player that can play multiple positions.
Right.
And so you just kind of build on that and see how the system goes and find other players to fit in. And I think that's what you're doing. It doesn't have to be the high-priced guys all the time. It could be some of these guys that are going to just have 2 or 3 year contracts, maybe not worth a lot of money, but you look at them on film, they're hard workers.
Right.
They come to play every single day. And those are the type of guys that Sean McDermott wants on his football team.
Everybody gets so caught up with the big splash names, and they want to bring in the big names. We got to sign this big name. And it's not about that. You know, it's about getting the guys that, you feel like fit your system or a guy who's versatile. And Sean McDermott has shown that most of the guys that he's bringing in, if not all of the guys, he wants them to be able to play multiple positions and help out in special teams as well. And that's what you get in a guy like Hyde. So I think he can be a good player here in Buffalo.
Hey, Thurman, there's a lot of talk about changing the culture here. Obviously, the Bills need to change after 17 years without a playoff berth. And Donald and I have been talking about it. It's one thing to bring in a coach and a new coaching staff and try to change the culture that way. But when you bring in a Micah Hyde or you re-sign a Lorenzo Alexander, Mike Tolbert, we talked to the other day, you really need those guys, veterans, to buy in, which was admittedly a problem with Rex Ryan in his first year, and then to kind of spread that culture in the locker room among the other players.
Oh, it's going to be a fun locker room, I think. I can tell you right now, it's going to be a fun locker room, especially with Tolbert in the locker room.
Do you know him at all?
No, I haven't. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to meeting him when get up here for OTAs and off-season workouts and everything. Obviously, from hearing the interview and hearing, some of the dancing moves that he's put on over the years, it's good to have a veteran guy like that. I think this team, this was one of the youngest teams in the National Football League in the past couple of years. And now you're bringing veteran guys who, he's obviously been to the playoffs, been to the Super Bowl with the Panthers. So, it's good that he's bringing in these vet guys. And I think they have to be at every position, too.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman, running back, wide receiver. And I'm looking for a veteran wide receiver to come in here. I know everybody's talked about – you talked about Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
Another veteran receiver. I'm really looking forward to see how – the culture will change with bringing these veteran guys in, because these guys that he's bringing in now, these guys have been in the league for a while. They know how to work.
They know how to work.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is, and people say, we all say, they've been to the playoffs, they've been to the Super Bowl. I think you got to look at, they also lost the Super Bowl. You know, Coach McDermott lost the Super Bowl. Tolbert lost the Super Bowl. DeMarco lost the Super Bowl. Like, they know the things that went wrong in that big moment, that big stage, and I think that's just as big as guys just making it to the playoffs. The guys that actually lost on the biggest stage, they know what we did wrong, and they can come here and they can now relay that message on to everybody else. Listen, this is what we did wrong that week. This is what we did wrong that day. We don't want that to happen here in Buffalo, so this is how we got to fix that.
It's a call from Brad in Rochester. Hi, Brad. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John, Donald, and Thurman. My question is the whole Ryan Gray situation. I know Gillislee's kind of in the same situation as far as they offer him a contract, and they can come back and either match it or beat it or whatnot. If they let Gillislee go, well, I want to find out if you guys think they should match or beat whatever offer he gets. But if they did let Gillislee go, and being that McCoy's getting a little older, he's probably maybe here another year or two, do you think there's any way, if they lost Gillislee, that they would maybe grab Leonard Fournette from LSU in the first round and have a 1-2 punch of him and McCoy? So basically, do you think they'll let Gillislee walk for more money? And do you think they would maybe draft a Fournette at number 10 if they did lose Gillislee?
Well, I think if they lost Gillislee, you know, you'd be looking to a running back in the draft. I don't know if you'd go that early, though.
No.
You know, no. I mean, you have Shady McCoy, so I don't think you would go that early. Plus, I don't think Leonard Fournette will be at number 10. I think he's going to be gone in the top 5, top 7 picks.
Yeah, I think he's going to be gone, too. I did read somewhere, I can't remember his name, that they supposed to have a free agent draft coming in from New Orleans.
Travaris Cadet.
Right.
Yes.
So I think,
reportedly,
you know,
we don't
have we don't know that yet, but I think, you know, they're looking at, hey, there might be a possibility that they might lose Gillislee.
Right.
So, I mean, I like the situation. I like the way they're doing things here right now, you know, taking a chance on another guy, having a guy visit because another guy might leave. So, and I look at Shady. Yeah, Shady's getting old, but, man, he hasn't taken a lot of big hits in his career.
Yeah,
He's
smart. He goes down.
He goes down when he has to.
Let me get down real quick.
Yeah, he's not your normal 28, 29-year-old running back. Yeah. Let's just put it that way. I think he still probably could have a couple more years in him. You know, is that going to fit with the salary cap or what have you and all that things? But I think Shady, if they keep him on his football team, can have another good 2 or 3 years.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us. You're welcome to phone in your comments, questions, 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-552-550. You can do it on Twitter. Here's a tweet from El Guapo de Bills Mafia. Question for Thurman. You like it? The guy's Twitter handle, El Guapo de Bills Mafia. I don't know what that means.
Maybe from Cabo or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's somebody you ran into in Cabo. Question for Thurman. This is kind of a broad question. When do you think the Buffalo Bills can stop the playoffs drought? Please provide me with your opinion.
Oh, when?
When. Not if, but when.
When?
When will the playoff drought end?
You know, I've been saying it's probably going to end for the last 10 years, maybe. You know, that's a pretty difficult question to answer. Because you don't, the roster isn't set now. You still have the draft. You still have to sign some free agents. You have to get through training camp. You have to get through the preseason game. So it's really hard to tell and how these players are going to pick up pretty much a new offense and a new defense. And there's still holes to be filled on the entire roster. So I really can't say when the drought was going to end, but I can say I think Sean McDermott and his coaching staff, along with Doug Whaley and all those guys, I think they're doing their best to try to move forward and trying to end this drought. But, you know, it all starts with the players. If they can stay healthy on the football
thing.
That's the biggest thing. If they can stay healthy on the football field, I would love to have Sammy for 16 games.
Yep.
We haven't had that. We have not had that. And I would love to have Sammy play 16 games, have a great number two, a great number three for an entire season. We haven't had that. And so, I think positive about everything every single year. So it's going to be difficult.
It'll be tough to end it this year, you're thinking?
Yeah.
A new coach. Guys,
I don't know. I don't know. You know, you always look at one of those situations where, you know, when Mike Tomlin got to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, they continued to win. They kept winning. And you've seen a lot throughout the league where you have had some first-year coaches make the playoffs.
Right.
And you hope that would be the situation here.
You saw it last year in Miami. You know, they made the playoffs. They made the right moves in free agency, and they got the right guys to fit his system, and everybody bought in. And they end up making it, you know, in the back door in the playoffs, but they made it in the playoffs. But that team stayed healthy for the most part.
Right.
You know, they had early in the season – they had real problems at their offensive line, but But then they got everybody back, and they went on that run, you know, where they won like 9 or 10 games in a row.
Yeah, the run started against us.
It did, you know. And so you got to look at it like it takes obviously the right players. It takes the coaching, the scheme, all of that stuff. But there's some luck involved in this as well because guys do get hurt. This is football, you know. And this team, unfortunately, over the past at least 10 years, has just every year had string of injuries, like crazy amounts of injuries.
Right.
And if you can keep from having that many injuries, you can make it into the playoffs.
There's another question for Thurman. This one comes from Tom in Buffalo. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing? I wanted to ask Thurman if he beat the tar out of Flutie after he threw him that suicide pass.
What pass was that, Tom?
I don't remember the game, but I remember he hung him out there, and Thurman took a tremendous shot reaching out for a pass.
I seem to recall Flutie threw a couple of those passes.
Thurman might not even remember.
I remember.
Oh, you do remember?
I remember, yeah. I don't really talk too much about it, but, you know.
Now's your chance.
Yeah, nope, not going there, John. Back in the day, I would have been spitting out stuff, but not today. Not today.
I miss the old
and
days.
Plus, I see Flutie every now and then. So
he's all right.
He's all right. Yeah. I mean, still shorter than I am, but he's all right. Yeah. I don't go back to those days. I remember the play. It was in Indianapolis, 1998.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, first play of the game.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and sneaking out to the flat, and after we got in and watched, we were like, no, I did not see the corner come off Eric Moles, who was running a fly rod. I did not see the corner come off of Eric.
Was it like a cover two?
Yeah, cover two. Mm-hmm. And threw it high. That's when I had a bruised kidney and a lacerated liver.
I missed
11 games.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I remember it.
And did you talk to Doug Flutie about it?
After watching the film, actually, the offensive coordinator at that time was Joe Pendry.
Okay.
And kind of looked at it, and Pendry looked at Flutie, and Flutie said, I'm sorry. And that was it.
Yeah, that's all you can say.
That's all you can say. I'm sorry, you know. And
My bad.
I missed 11 games, and that was it.
And you accepted that and went on?
Accepted it and went on.
Okay.
I did.
All right.
I did.
That's cool.
You know, ultimately, you know, he still is the quarterback, right? So if you just go off on him when you come back, it might set you up again, you know? So you just got to take I'm sorry and live with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have took I'm sorry if it happened again. No.
Thurman sticks with us for a few more minutes. You're welcome to come back. The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back live at Snowy Orchard Park, One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, presented by Napa Auto Parts. I wonder for those on the TV side if we can get another shot of the scene inside New Era Field right now so folks can get a look at it. Yeah, we're getting some snow here in Western New York. And
we're able to get
some snow in the control room as well. A little bit. But the scene inside New Era Field, it looks like the snow has stopped. So not bad. A beautiful scene inside the New Era Field today. That's a live shot.
Love to have a playoff game in that.
Right. Look at that.
Man,
that is
something there, boy. Woo. Snow up against the banks and stuff.
Yeah. Love the way you
visiting team getting pummeled with snowballs. Man, just rocking.
There you go. I could see that motivated you, that shot there, Thurman. That's cool.
It does. Bring back a lot of memories.
Yeah. Thurman Thomas in studio with us. We're taking your phone calls, 803-0550, the number. Hey, Thurman, Donald and I were at the Combine 2 weeks ago, and we sat with our buddy Bill Polian. And Polian almost right out of the box whipped this one out on us. He thinks he sees a lot of Marv Levy in Sean McDermott. And Donald said, whoa, there's the headline right there. But come on. Sean McDermott hasn't coached a game in the NFL, and Bill's comparing him to a Hall of Famer. That got our attention.
Yeah, that got my attention a couple of weeks, too, when he said. I remember him hearing him say about it. But, wow. I mean, that puts you right at the top right there to see how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've talked to Coach McDermott a couple of times, and I'm just anxious to see, you know, once the OTAs start and once he gets his roster filled, you know, what type of coaching method is he going to use? I mean, right now we're watching him. I mean, he's a defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Now he's the head coach. He has control over everything. That's a different type of understanding of just being a different defensive coordinator. You have to be aware of what's going on. Are you going to let your coaches coach?
Right.
Are you going to be a part of it, the defensive scheme with Leslie Frazier? You know, are you going to be involved with that? I'm sure he is, but, I mean, the head coach takes on a lot of duties. And I'm excited to see, you know, what he's going to do in his first year, how training camp is going to go, yeah. How OTA is going to go. Because it's an unknown. And mm-hmm. It's the unknown of how – you know, he's going to be able to handle all head coaching duties. But for Bill Polian to say that, that's pretty special right there.
We got a caller here with a similar question. Jacob in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jacob. You're on the air with us.
Hello, John, Don, and Thurman. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Johnny kind of stole my thunder there a little bit. I was going to ask Thurman if you've seen any comparisons between McDermott and Levy. But
are there comparisons, though? Again, you want to see what Sean does, but is there anything about the initial meetings you had with McDermott that remind you of Marv Levy?
No.
He's low-key?
He's low-key. Yeah, he's low-key. You know, I was kind of doing most of the talking.
Jacob?
But I can tell, though, he's anxious to get to work.
Yeah.
He's anxious to get to work and really get these players in here, get the draft over and get the training camp and OTAs and all that stuff. I'm telling you, he's working really hard to.
When did you talk to Sean? Today or a couple weeks ago?
Last week.
Last week?
Last week.
Yeah. You were here last week and you didn't
tell me? I was here last week.
Jacob,
you didn't call me.
It's all about Murph. I'm telling you.
It's all about the show.
Me and Flutie. Jacob, do you have another question for Thurman or Donald or me?
I want to apologize to Thurman. Years back, he was being recognized at the Buffalo Sports Awards. And I was a waiter and I was waiting to get his. While I was working as a waiter at the ceremony, and I was waiting to get his autograph. And after he signed my card, I told him good luck on getting in the Hall of Fame. And I was star-shocked. I meant to say congratulations. I knew he was
in the Hall of Fame. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't forget that.
Don't forget that. Wait a minute.
Look.
Oh, I'm not in there?
What? Oh, sorry about that, Thurman.
That's
I was star-shocked, you know? I was a kid. But, you were probably one of my favorite Bills of all time, and I want to hang up and listen. And, guys, I love the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you.
Here is Todd in North Tonawanda. Todd, go ahead.
Hi, guys. You know, back in 2000, after the season, I think John Butler was the GM, and the Bills had a lot of salary cap issues. And I think it was that year that the Bills cut Bruce, Andre, and Thurman. And my question to Thurman is, you signed with Miami that offseason, and I was always curious if it was an opportunity signing or if there was a little bit of bad blood there for a short period of time.
Did you sign with Miami to stick it to the Bills?
No doubt.
It's a way to be honest, man. That's what I'm talking about.
No doubt. I mean, well, you know what? You know, I hate to bring up bad memories or whatever, but I will. You know, I just felt that, you know, it wasn't all about the salary cap situations or anything like that. I just felt like I had done enough with the Buffalo Bills in 12 years to not go out that way.
Yeah.
You know, had the Bills called and said, hey, you know, we want you to retire I would have retired. But I was so angry and so upset knowing that that I was released and hadn't talked to anybody in the organization about it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I had an opportunity to go to Oakland or Seattle, but it was too far away. And Miami called my head coach in college, Pat Jones. He was a tight end coach. And so I knew Pat Jones there, Dave Wants there, knew a lot of guys that were at Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
They were down in Miami, and my sole purpose for going to Miami was to beat the Bills twice.
Hmm. Now,
that's great.
I mean, that's just the way it was.
How did that turn out?
We're 2-0.
Were you?
Yeah.
All right.
And that was back then, really before free agency like it is today. Right. When you look at the players today, I mean, there's no player really that's like immortal from being released.
Nobody.
Right? Nobody.
Nobody.
Even Tom Brady himself. If you try to hang on too long,
you will be released. Right. And I think some of the players that you're starting to see that, like, you know, Kyle Williams, mm-hmm. you know, comes to mind with the Buffalo Bills. You know, I mean, he thought about retirement and had a conversation about a month ago with Larry Fitzgerald. he was thinking about retiring, because you just don't know. The unknown is there. And so, you don't want to be put in a situation like that. But sometimes it does happen to a lot of the great players in the National Football League. And they get to the end of their career, you know, they're going to get let go. And that's one of the reasons why before it happened, before I went to Miami, I thought Dan Marino was going to have another year in Miami. And that year that I signed, he ended up retiring. You know, I have an opportunity to play with Dan Marino. So, but they didn't want him back after a while. You stay with an organization long enough, the time will come where they're going to release you or you're going to have to retire.
Here's a call from Frank in Buffalo. Frank, go ahead. You're on the air with us. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Thurman Thomas.
Yeah, Thurman, you probably get asked a lot, but I wanted to ask you about the money in the game today. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. We're talking the 90s when you played, and it seems now that money is dwarfing it. And when you think about guys like Talley and other players that have had some hard times, et cetera, I wonder what your thoughts are regarding the money these guys are making in the game now. As far as, do you resent it, or do you feel like you paved the way for that for these guys? And what's your feelings on that?
Well, I think in some way you feel like you paved the way for these guys. I don't resent all these guys. They should make as much money as they possibly could. You know, it was like that before I made it into the National Football League. I played with – my coach was Elijah Pitts from the Green Bay Packers, and he said always after the season he had to go get a job just to take care of his family. So, I mean, you can see it as it – from back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, obviously with the game being as big as it is, the money is going to grow. I mean, all these players – get as much money as you possibly can. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even upset that Mario Williams got his contract here with the Bills. I mean, that's just the way it happens. Yeah, these guys are really out. I mean, they're putting their lives and body on the line, you know. And I wake up this morning and see something about Lance Briggs having a problem with CTE.
Right.
So, I mean, no. Make as much money as you can for as long as you can in the National Football League or at any sport.
Couple of tweets, Thurman, directed at you. Clarence High School football tweets in, Thurman Thomas is the best, honest, and sincere, never afraid to tell it like it is. That's pretty cool.
And yeah, that's pretty cool.
A.L. Plantone tweets in, where did Thurman get that cool cap? You got a shamrock with an American flag on that cap.
That's I got this in Houston at the Super Bowl.
Oh, and it's autographed by somebody underneath the brim?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Live lucky.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cool. So
that's a cool cap. You got it at the Super Bowl.
I got it at the Super Bowl.
Excellent.
Everything's been positive ever since I've been wearing it.
Donald and I spent a little time last week talking about this. There was a story that came out a week ago. Your former teammate, Steve Christie, kicker, mentioned, you know, it was right after Dan Carpenter was released by the Bills, mentioned that he had offered during the past season to come in and counsel Dan Carpenter and was turned away. He blamed GM Doug Whaley. Look, to my mind, no one – Jim's around here a lot. Steve Tasker's around here a lot. But no one spends more time watching practice and interacting with current players than you do. You're here a lot during the season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
What do you think of that, and how would you handle that if you thought a player had might need some advice from you or some counsel from you?
Well, John, you know what? Since I'm really close with a lot of players and obviously close with a lot of people within the organization, especially if I'm close with a player, you know what? I don't think I need to call Doug Whaley. I don't think I need to call Sean McDermott to say, hey, can I speak to this guy?
Yeah.
You know,
you're here.
I'm here, you know, and if I notice if a guy is struggling or going through some issues or whatever, I'm not afraid to walk up and just talk to him and just kind of get into a conversation about what's going on. Or maybe the guy might need that, you know, a guy might need that. So, I mean, I wish it could have been handled in a different way. Steve Christie, you know, I mean, I wish he probably should have called. Got a number for Dan Carpenter and called him or whatever it should have been. Just do it on your own, you know. Don't make it such a big deal, you know. Now everybody's been talking about it, and now everybody's on Doug Whaley's butt about not allowing Steve Christie to come in here or whatever. I mean, it's
isn't it more likely that Carpenter may have said, you know, I'm good. I don't really need to talk to Steve Christie. All due respect, great kicker, but you know, you don't want 100 voices in your head, even if they're former kickers, right?
You don't want 100 voices in your head, and you're a kicker,
kicker is like the most.
That's the least of your problems, right there. So, you know what? I think, you know, John, I think as I learned over the years in the National Football League, you just live and learn. You know what? You learn from your mistakes, and And now that I've been, you know, been retired for all these years, you know, I handle things a little bit differently. And I'm not afraid to voice my opinion. I'm not afraid to, you know, pull a player aside. I don't think I have to have the okay from anybody in the organization.
And would you be offended if the player said, I'm okay?
I'd be fine. Yeah. I'd say, hey, no problem. If you, you know, whenever you want to talk or want to talk about it, I'm here. You know I'm here.
For example, you talk to Shady, like, right? I mean,
all the time.
He knows who you are.
Yeah.
He probably says to you, hey, did you ever do this? Or what do you think of that? Or right?
All the time. All the time, you know, throughout the entire season. You know, more than I talked to Shady last year was probably more than anything when he was injured. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to him a lot about, you know, doing things, you know, outside of football and how to take care of yourself. So, the relationship with myself and Shady has been really great over the past couple of years, and it continue to be great probably from here on out. Even if he decides to retire or whatever, we're going to have a relationship for a number of years. So, John, that's just me. I'm always willing to try to help these young guys, knowing that I've been through the situation, knowing that, you know, what it really takes here in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, when we got here, like for training camp, okay, guys, we're here for 6 months. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Even if we have a week off or 3 or 4 days off, we're going to be right here. Right. We're going to go to work every single day. And I think that's the mindset that these players have to think, because when we were here, we were always saying, hey, this isn't California, this isn't Texas, this isn't Florida.
Exactly.
It's Buffalo. We're going to be here. We're going to practice here. We're going to play hard. We're going to work together. We're going to hang out together. It's just us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the mindset that players have to have when they come to a city like Buffalo.
You got a few minutes. Can you hang with us for a few more
minutes? Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, Thurman's back with us. You can ring us up, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, John Murphy with Donald Jones and Thurman Thomas. You haven't been here in 3 weeks or so, and we're laughing about something that happened 3 weeks ago. We're talking about Andre Reed. That's how funny that was 3 weeks later.
3 weeks
still
later.
Laughing about it.
Have you talked to him?
No.
You didn't bring up
the
pork rinds?
He was in Cabo with me, but I didn't bring it up.
You didn't say anything about
the
pork rinds?
No, I didn't really. I know. It was.
You could at least say, hey, Andre, you got any pork rinds on you?
Right. They were in Cabo. I won't go bring it.
Here's a call for a Thurman from Tom in Buffalo. Hello, Tom. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Thurman. I remember your first Super Bowl. Me and my buddies, we booked a ski vacation up in Burlington, Vermont, because we never expected you to make it. And you did. So now I'm up in Giant Nation wearing all my zoo guys and Buffalo Bills paraphernalia. And I was an outcast up there. Well, you guys blew the game. Wide right. I know. That's famous. Wide right. Okay? I know. I understand. But everybody told me after that game, coming home on the flight to LaGuardia, that they would rather have our team than no team, because they knew you were going to repeat. And you did it 4 years in a row. Now, you were also way ahead of Dallas. And at halftime,
Tom,
you had the game.
I'm going to do Thurman a favor here and spare him some of the details. Do you have a question for Thurman? He knows. Believe me, you know you lost all four Super Bowls, right?
Did we?
Tom, wow. Is there a question here?
Hey, I want his take on why they couldn't pull it together and win.
Why not, Tom? For Tom, why couldn't you win just one?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Just bad football at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Just bad football at the wrong time. And people are always, well, something must have happened. You know, Marv Levy was a type of coach where, you know, one of the things that we always did well, we practiced really well. We were a good practicing football team. And usually if you practice well, you usually play well.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't play well, obviously, in the Super Bowl. But we had great practices leading up to all four Super Bowls, and it just didn't carry over. Breaks didn't go our way. And, you know, at that time, you know, it was the NFC East. I mean, they were a power back then. And we couldn't put four quarters together of really good football. Even though we did in the first Super Bowl against the Giants, you know, We wish we could have had that third quarterback when they held the ball for 9 minutes or whatever. Well, we just couldn't put four good quarters of football together.
I wish we could have kept talking about pork rinds.
Well, you steady on that, ain't you?
Talking about pork rinds and losing four straight Super Bowls. It would have been just more fun to go out that way.
It would have.
Are you okay with this weather? You're going home? You got a big four-wheeler? What do you got out there?
Man, I'm going home and do some shoveling.
Are you?
Hopefully my little son has done the shoveling of the walkway. Probably not.
I see you sending a message out
there. Yeah, right. That's what you got to do, right? You've been at home for 2 days,
he's in
right?
The batting cage, though. He's probably in the batting cage.
The batting cage is closed today.
Thurman, as always, we laugh a lot when you're here. We love having you here. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, John.
We'll get you back in here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Fame running back, joining us in studio. Coming up next, we're going to talk some UB football, University at Buffalo. The Bulls were in the house today for their pro day, and head coach Lance Leipold is standing by to joining us in the next segment of the show to talk about that. Donald and I back with that, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from Snowy Orchard Park from One Bills Drive, where it is quiet on the free agent front for the Buffalo Bills. They have a couple of their new free agents in today, and we may get to hear from one of them coming up later on the show, kicker Steven Hauschka. In signing his contract, going through a physical. Hopefully we get to hear from him in the next hour or so. Some former Buffalo Bills kind of moving around the league. Linebacker Zach Brown scheduled to visit the Oakland Raiders. Brown, one of the top-rated remaining linebackers on the free agent market, went to the Pro Bowl last year, starting all 16 games for the Bills last year. Justin Hunter, Bills wide receiver last year, who got five starts, played in 12 games. Justin Hunter is ready to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a former second-round pick of the Titans in 2013. Hunter caught four touchdown passes for the Bills last year. Percy Harvin's agent says this time the retirement is for real. The wide receiver not participating in free agency. He is 28 years old. He retired in April of 2016 but came back and played a couple of games for the Bills last year. Offensive lineman Andre Smith, who was in Buffalo earlier this week on a free agent visit, has decided instead to sign with his old team, the Cincinnati Bengals. Smith, originally a first-round pick of the Bengals, 8 years in the league, played last year with the Vikings, now going back to Cincinnati to play on the offensive line there. Buffalo Sabres continuing their West Coast swing, their California road trip. They lost in San Jose last night, 4-1, first game of the trip. Robin Leonard with 37 saves, Jack Eichel with his 20th goal of the season. Sabres in Los Angeles practicing today. They've got the Kings in L.A. tomorrow night at 10:30. NCAA tournament underway. The action comes to Buffalo tomorrow. Mount St. Mary's won in the first four game last night in Dayton, Ohio, and their reward is a trip here to Buffalo to play the top-seeded Villanova Wildcats. Notre Dame plays Princeton just after noon tomorrow, followed by West Virginia and Bucknell. Tomorrow night, Villanova and Mount St. Mary's, followed by Wisconsin and Virginia Tech. Right now, they are practicing the shoot-arounds at the KeyBank Center, and going on right now downtown is Notre Dame on the floor at KeyBank Center. Tickets still available for the first and second rounds of the NCAA at KeyBank Center. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones in studio, our One Buffalo studio on the front end of the AdPro Sports Fieldhouse. And joining us in our studio after a day inside the fieldhouse is the head coach going into his third season as the head coach of the UB Football Bulls, head coach Lance Leipold. Coach, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Donald and I have had a chance to keep an eye on your team. You've been in there two or three times, I think, getting your spring practices in inside here in the fieldhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when you're inside, you have weather issues. We had a little trouble. You know, classes canceled yesterday. You have a little issue today being able to get buses. But we've been able to get four practices in. We're going to try to get a scrimmage in tomorrow down here and then head off to spring break. But very pleased with the work so far.
Hey, are players excited about spring practices? I mean, you know, all right, this is spring ball. There's no game coming up. How do you get them hyped up for spring practice?
I think right now, Donald, they are excited. Last season did not go the way we wanted. We're disappointed in the record and the outcome. And I think they want to turn the page and be ready to go. And so far, I've really been pleased with the attitude and effort.
Coach Lance Leipold of the UB Bulls in studio with us. His team worked out inside the AdPro Sports Fieldhouse earlier today. So you get the spring break, you get almost a couple of weeks off, and then you come back for really the meat of spring practice, right? Leading up to the blue-white game coming up.
Yeah, we'll get about nine practices after spring break, and that way, you know, it's really a good format, John, where you get a day of practice, a day kind of in the classroom, clean it up, another day in the weight room maybe, get about three practices a week and really get a chance to teach and do things and really at the same time try to stay healthy.
Right. Now, you know guys are going to go home for spring break or go and do whatever they do for spring break. So then they come back and they have practice. So well, how do you – you know, do you get – we're going to test some conditioning when we get back.
We're going to test some conditioning. Also, we kind of think there's a little method to the madness, is that hopefully kind of being in practice in the flow, kind of you maybe hold back a little bit on some of those spring break activities.
Coach, what do you use spring practice for? Is it installation of systems? Is it picking your team, you know, identifying who's going to play where? How do you use these spring practices?
Well, each year is a little different each and of itself. You know, our first season, you know, Joe Licata was our quarterback. He was coming off surgery, didn't go through. Last year we had a quarterback battle kind of to replace Joe. Well, now we have Tyree Jackson, who's kind of started, you know, 8-9 ball games for us, kind of settled in at quarterback. Now we were able to put the pieces around him and you know, really build competition depth, you know, that's going to go with him on the field, improve our special teams game, and really work on some base fundamentals. And, of course, experiment with a few things that you want to kind of try that you may not get to.
How often do you have guys emerge that you might not have thought about going into the season coming up as a starter? You have a guy emerge in spring practice.
I think each year, Donald, there's, you know, one or two guys that really kind of gain your confidence, earn some extra opportunities. Maybe it's somebody that might be a walk-on that all of a sudden shows they can help in special teams and do some other things within a role. Sometimes it's a younger player. You can see kind of the lights going on, and they're gaining confidence and strength, and they kind of propel themselves into a great opportunity for August.
Coach Lance Leipold of the UB Bulls in studio with us. They had pro day here earlier today for some of the prospects. We are going to talk about that, some of the UB prospects. But right now, talking about your returning team, your UB Bulls, and you mentioned Tyree Jackson, who, you know, when you're out there watching your team, even in spring practice, your eyes kind of gravitate towards that guy. What, 6'7" tall quarterback?
Yeah, right? He's 6'6", 6'7". He's got a strong arm. And again, as we kind of talked earlier, is John, what you really see now is a guy who's been in your program for 2 years, started for one, the confidence, the game is starting to slow down, and now the leadership and confidence is starting to kind of go throughout that offensive unit. And anyone that in the area that, you know, kind of has an interest in following this or talking about the draft, this young man has a great opportunity and a huge upside. And if you have a chance to come watch him play, I think you'll be impressed.
You brought in a new quarterbacks coach to work with Tyree and all your quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, Jim Zabrowski spent 5 years at the University of Minnesota. I worked with Jim for 3 years at Wisconsin Whitewater. We moved our offensive coordinator, Andy Kolnicki, to running backs and brought Jim in. And those two have hit it off really well. They're meshing well in the meeting room, Tyree and Jim. And I think it's really going to help even elevate his game more.
The MAC, the Mid-American Conference, has been known as a quarterback development league. Is Tyree maybe poised in a couple of years to be considered in those
I definitely think he has that type of makeup, you know, from the time we met him and where things were at. And you know, when we came in here, Tyree was committed. There were a lot of Power Fives, I say a lot, probably 3 to 4, that tried to get in on him during the coaching change. He stuck with his commitment to Buffalo. We're very happy with that. And when you watch that size, you watch the way he can move, the arm strength, I think he's going to be a guy that we're going to hopefully talk about. You invite me back someday, and we'll be talking about him on this show about what his future holds.
When you look at the quarterbacks coming out of college right now, you look at what NFL offenses want. Obviously, you're going to run the system that you're going to run, that you feel is going to give your team the best chance to win. But is that something you talk to these quarterbacks when you're recruiting them about, like, this is the system that we run, this is what you're going to have to do if you want a chance at that level?
We do, and I think, like, your earlier statement is you got to do what you have to do these days to, you know, the RPO schemes, the run-pass option is very popular. We're using it, but we've also told Andy Kolnicki, our coordinator, Jim Zabrowski, we've even talked about Tyree taking more snaps, whether it be spring or summer or even in practice, under center, so that he can work on those things, that we give him the best opportunity, that hopefully someday that he'll have a chance to get under center in the NFL.
Coach Lance Leipold, our guest, the UB football coach. They had their pro day workouts here at the Ed Pro Sports Fieldhouse at One Bills Drive today. Let's talk about some of the players who are out there, Coach, and I actually talked with some of the NFL scouts out there. A lot of them mentioned your tight end, Mason Schreck. Yeah. Tell us about him and maybe his NFL prospect.
Well, you know, Mason's really accelerated his game in the last probably 18 months. You know, he was a high school quarterback, recruited by the previous staff, came in, he's made the transition. Matt Weiser was our starting tight end 2 years ago, was in the Chargers camp for most of the year. But Mason's really taken off, was a senior leader for us. We used him in multiple ways. He's improved his blocking. We flexed him out. I think he's been able to do a lot of things that, you know, tight ends are doing in the NFL. He's playing on the ball, off the ball, split out. And I really think by listening to people, he's going to have an opportunity.
What do you look for in a tight end when you're recruiting a kid? Like, are you looking for a tight end that can stretch the field? Are you looking for a blocker? You need to have both on your team or somebody
all
who can
do
everything? Yeah,
right. All the above. Now, can you get them all in one package or do you have to use that multiple players? But, you know, we're hoping for that 6'4", 6'5 guy. Eventually he can get himself in that 250 range. And like you said, can stretch the field a little bit vertically and can help you there, but also not afraid to put his hand on the ground and, you know, take on, you know, a strong side defensive end.
A lot of scouts seem to think Mason Schreck is at least a free agent and maybe a late-round draft pick coming up in the draft, huh?
Yeah, that's some of the things that we're hearing, that he's got a chance to get drafted. You know, Donald, you have a lot of experience, and I've listened to the two of you talk. I don't know, sometimes it's almost better to be the free agent because you have a little more opportunity than that sixth or seventh round. But I just know Mason's a humble enough guy, hardworking. He just wants that opportunity.
How much do the teams talk to you about your prospects?
A little bit. You know, most of that may be early in the season. They come in, they'll talk to the trainers, strength coach. They'll go around position coaching. Of course, they get to us, talk about work ethic, attitude, any issues that have been along the way. And then sometimes, you know, they'll come back a second round and a second time around and kind of hit you. And if it gets really serious about drafting, you may even get more people calling.
Hey, Coach, tell me another guy who some of the scouts mentioned out there today, a local kid, a running back that you had, Jordan Johnson. What can you tell us about him and how he might project to the
NFL? Yeah, Sweet Home graduate Jordan Johnson, another just like Mason Schreck, you know, was a high school quarterback. And I think to both those guys, you know, most time in high school, they're going to put your best athletes at quarterback. So it talks about the two athleticism of those two guys. Jordan's a guy that another player has really started only 1 year. He's a 1,000-yard rusher for us last year. He's worked extremely hard. Can do a lot of things as well. Nice thing about him, he's got great size. You know, he's going to – I think his best football's ahead of him. I think he's going to be a better back than him, maybe in the back of the eye where he can get downhill, be a one-cut back versus maybe some of the things that you have to do in college in the shotgun. And, again, a guy who can be used well in the passing game, good in pass protection.
What do as you said, there were 10 scouts here. How do you structure today's pro day to kind of service those guys, to give them what they want to do? And how is that put together for them?
Well, we pretty much let the scouts kind of run it as they want. I know the Bills did a great job of taking the lead, and they kind of break it down. But they start off with the bench press, do the vertical, and then they get in the 40s and cone drills. But they try to simulate it, I think, as much like a combine, but in a very miniature type of way. And then they get a chance to do some cone drills, and then some individual drills, and I think different scouts from different organizations will take the lead on these.
It looked like our guy Jim Monas from the Bills was kind of running the show out there.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he was, and he took the lead. And you know, and then Alan Hensel, our tight ends coach, is our NFL liaison when the scouts come in all the time, and they've kind of worked together to put this together. And I think in the 3 years that I've been at these, I think it was our best organized one. I think we're getting a good groove with it. And, again, we had a great turnout.
And another prospect I wanted to ask you about, a defensive lineman, Brandon Crawford, who got the attention of some of the scouts out there.
Yeah, Brandon's kind of an in-between guy. You know, we 2 years ago we played him at D-tackle for a little bit. Then we went to play Penn State. We moved him out and played him over to the tight end, and then we kind of left him out there as a strong side end, very strong. I think he did about 27 reps at 225 today. You know, he's been as high as maybe 290. He's been as low as 265 in weight. So I think he's just got to find the, you know, how his opportunity is going to come and find that weight and position. But I could see him being more of a three technique, getting back up in that 285, 290 range, and extremely quick and powerful.
Wonder, Coach, you've been here a couple of years now coaching the UB Bulls going into your third season. Do folks around here understand the caliber of player that you're producing, not just at UB, but in the Mid-American Conference. There are NFL players every year coming out of the MAC.
Yeah, I hope they do. You know, I think, again, as we try to work to get ourselves better and we give our local fans an opportunity and a reason to come out and watch, but you look at a Ben Roethlisberger, a Khalil Mack, Antonio Brown, yeah. And now Corey Davis is going to be a first-round draft pick out of Western Michigan. There's excellent football players that come to UB Stadium, whether they be in the blue and white or in the opponents, and a great chance to watch some excellent players.
Coach, how hard is it for you, not necessarily hard, but, you know, how challenging is it for you to recruit against these teams that are recruiting in the MAC that are in Ohio, in Michigan, in those football states, and you're in Buffalo that's not necessarily a football area, per se, and you have to recruit against them. How difficult is
that? Well, it's a battle. It is, but recruiting and building a program anywhere is, you know, and we're willing to go anywhere, whether it be in the Canada and down to Florida, wherever we may go, but we're going to go in there and sell our university and sell what our direction of our program is going to be. But that said, Donald, I think Western New York and coming into this 2018 recruiting class is going to be about as solid as I know as we've seen in our short time, and talking to others, they feel the same way. So I think high school football in the area and things are definitely on the uptick.
I know I was on the sidelines the other day when you were here with your spring practice, Coach McDermott. You got a chance to talk with Coach McDermott. And we were talking, the first thing he asked you when you came over was, okay, what's your recruiting base? I mean, that's really coach speak. That's what you think about first when you're trying to build a program.
Yeah, it was. And I can't thank him enough for coming down. I had a chance to say hello again today and really looking forward to building that relationship. When you start talking about how you're going to build your program, it's going to be through recruiting and things, and it's through relationships and finding players. But once we find them, we've got to be able to be great evaluators and then develop that talent as well. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look back at the Turner Gill era, they were able to do some of that and project some players, and it really turned out well.
I know we were starting to get into the MAC a little bit and some players that are coming out of the MAC. Obviously, this year, a guy who everybody's talking about going in the first round, maybe top 10, a lot of people have him coming to the Bills. Corey Davis, the wide receiver out of Western Michigan. You've coached against him. What do you think about him?
Yeah, that's one of those we got a firsthand chance to look. You know, College Game Day was there and all that, and they're very impressive on tape. And then you see him in person, and really for about the first 25 minutes of that ball game, we played some of our best defense that we had played
in a
while.
I watched that game. We were flying to Cincinnati November 19th or 20th.
Yeah, right around there,
and the game was on ESPN. I watched that game, and eventually, I don't know, the plane took off or something, but I was like, holy cow, UB's playing with Western Michigan. That was a heck of a game to watch.
Our guys played their tails off, and then all of a sudden, late in the half, they got the ball to Corey Davis a couple times. And then I think, what people will see or see soon on Sundays, we had to witness, and he kind of took over the game there right before the half and kind of broke open a couple score lead on us. But he's a very talented, great speed, great hands. He's physical, has the speed and size that I think, he's going to be a very effective player in the NFL.
6'3", 210 pounds, I guess they list him at. He didn't run at the combine, and I don't know if he's going to run on his own pro day. He did not run.
He did not run his pro day. He's supposed to have a private workout in April.
Okay. Is that going to hold him back, do you think, or is the speed not a question
for
him?
I don't know. I think right now he's probably being in that projected area. I think anything less would maybe hurt the young man. But I thought he showed, what he could do. I think the Cotton Bowl against Wisconsin, you're playing then a Power 5 school late in the year. They beat two Big Ten teams early in the year. So he's got three games in his senior year against top, Power 5 conference, and he probably feels comfortable where he's at.
Talking with Coach Lance Leipold of the UB Bulls, kind of getting set up for the draft with his experience going up against some of the best players in the Mid-American Conference. A defensive end, the defensive player of the year from Ohio University, Terrell Basham. What can you tell us about him?
Very quick, explosive defensive end. Had an excellent game against us, probably the game we give up the most sacks this year. Physical player off the edge, but they run a lot of twist game too against us on that day. We're able to free him up. I thought he was, a player that will be very effective in the league and an impressive player.
And a guy, a running back from Toledo, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, now we didn't play them, but in strange, you didn't even really see a lot of crossovers, but did have a chance to watch him in the bowl game. Very talented. In fact, I was watching a little bit of the combine on TV and saw him run his 40s in that. And again, an impressive player. Running backs are pretty competitive group, but he seems to be able to hold his own.
And I want to ask you about an offensive lineman from Miami of Ohio, Colin Buchanan. What can you tell us about him?
Another big physical guy. You know, Miami of Ohio lost their first six games, won their next six, and then lost to Mississippi State right at the end of the game on, I think, a blocked field goal opportunity. But a big physical player, I think, again, that will have a chance to contribute in the league.
We talked to you about your recruiting base, and it strikes me that in the entire Mid-American Conference, the recruiting base is basically kind of same footprint in many respects as Big Ten, and yet guys mm-hmm. fall through the cracks. Yep. Those are the guys who wind up as the top performers in your league and come to the NFL typically, right?
Yeah, they do, and when you really watch the difference between what people gauge as a two-star or three-star and how early guys commit these days, I think there's a lot of guys that have higher ceilings than others maybe just based on how soon they commit and the development of what they have. And I think that's why there's a lot of good football players left over that end up in the Mid-American Conference.
When you're recruiting these players out of high school and you see this guy's a five-star, he has 50 offers, let's just say, from all of these big schools, do you even go after him at all? You just leave it alone?
I think it depends on the situation where they're at. I think sometimes, realistically, we know our chances are not going to be there to probably sign that young man. But two things going forward. One is that if you don't offer, what happens if there are other prospects at the school? What does the high school coach right. think that you didn't offer them? Plus, you know, depending on the position, one being quarterback, the amount of quarterbacks that sometimes transfer, you don't know what happens 3 years down the road.
Right.
So if, at least if you throw your name in there and you try to build some type of relationship, if you can get in there, you never know what may happen down the road.
What happens with those quarterbacks? It's a playing time thing most of the time?
It is. Like, you know, there's only one that's going to play.
Right.
And they all
get told they're going to be the guy probably.
Right. And I always say, like, even to my own children, we have those cell phones that are so instant. Everything's right there. And sometimes patience isn't what it used to be. And waiting your time and what you see as your opportunity is not always the same. And I think that's a position right now where people are pulling the plug quicker and looking for greener pastures.
We're with Coach Lance Leipold of the UB Bulls. They had their pro day workouts here in the field house today. And to wrap up the pro day portion of this, Coach, was there anybody who maybe you had some guys from SUNY Albany, some Buff State guys, anybody that kind of, you know, got people's attention that maybe surprised some of the scouts out there today?
Yeah, I think there was a couple guys out there. I didn't know many of those guys personally.
Right, right.
But, the two tight ends, one from Wagner University and then the young man from Buff State, I just think just physically long arms and, looks raw yet in some areas, but I'm not the scout, you know. But you never know what opportunities happens, whether it be on a short tryout or even getting into a camp. I thought those two young men kind of caught some people's eyes.
And the guy from Buff State, Nick Jones, the guy from Wagner was Ryan Owens, just so we mentioned their name.
Right, right. Coach, how big is it for you to have an indoor facility like this to, first of all, run your spring practices and do a pro day? I remember when I was coming out, you know, my pro day at Youngstown, Ohio was outside, you know, so we're warming up before this time of year.
Yeah.
And it was tough because you're trying to run a 40 and all that stuff, and it's freezing cold outside.
Right. Well, first of all, we're extremely grateful for this opportunity. That said, we'd still like to get our own.
Right, right.
But it is. Every time we walk in this facility and you see the size and the area, even for a kicker, you know, there was a kicker here today and you have that opportunity. It is huge. It's great to have the working relationship. But for these guys that go train, whether they stay in the area to train with someone, some of our guys went south. But when you come back, like you said, if you're going to try, even when you get a late storm like this, what would you do today if you didn't have right. a place like this?
Mm-hmm. Coach Leipold's going to have his UB Bulls team in the fieldhouse again tomorrow, right, for one more spring practice?
Yeah, one
session.
More scrimmage before we hit the break.
And then you look ahead a little bit. We were talking about the Big Ten a second ago. You get a chance to pull, when the season begins, to pull off one of those MAC Big Ten upsets right out of the box, right? It happens every year, right? It seems like a MAC team will shock a Big Ten team, and you go up against Minnesota. And you're
right, and we hope that'll be the one. Coach P.J. Fleck from
Western Michigan.
So obviously he may know more about us than we may know fully about them. But a great opportunity, and I think the way our administration has set up our scheduling model for non-conference philosophy has been outstanding, and I think a lot of our guys get excited about that opportunity to walk into a Big Ten stadium. Sure. And what better way to kick off a season with a great opportunity like that?
You follow that up in week two with you beat Army last year. You get a chance to play at West Point, which is really one of the great venues in college football, right?
Yeah, selfishly speaking, I have never been there. And I've heard that from our people, and they say what an experience and an educational experience along the way, too. So that should be exciting. And then I think you say, like, we have Colgate and then Florida Atlantic with Lane Kiffin.
Right,
so that'll be exciting.
They're coming here.
Yeah.
So. And you wind up the season as the Bulls and the Mid-American usually does with those great weeknight games, and whether it's here in Buffalo on a cool they're Thursdays, right? And I love those games. Maybe it's sometimes it's too cold to go to the game, I'll stay home. But even when you're home, I love going out there. And
maybe we'll move it here. No,
yeah,
but
come on.
You know, it is. In fact, this year, John, there will not be one Saturday game played in the Mid-American Conference in November.
Wow.
Okay.
And what is that? That must wreak havoc on your practice schedule a little bit.
Well, this year, fortunately for us, some years, you know, you got a 5-day turnaround and six. This year, we're going to have no short weeks.
Okay.
So we'll go Tuesday, then a Thursday, and then a Friday. So we will actually always have one extra or two extra days. So that way this year will be probably – and when you're getting late in the years, you know, Donald, that body starts wearing down. We'll actually have a couple extra days where our first 2 years we had some short weeks that made it tough.
Coach, going into your third season, what's the key to a really improvement, a big step forward for the Bulls this year?
Consistency. We have to be able to be consistent and play with some confidence. I think we're still at a point as a program. We've got to find a way to overcome a little adversity early in the game and to play with that confidence. And then once we can kind of hit that stride, to make sure we maintain it.
Good luck to you. I hope we can get you on again sometime.
Anytime, guys. It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Sure. Coach Lance Leipold of the UB Bulls, they finish up this portion of spring practice here at the Fieldhouse tomorrow, and they're heading towards their spring game at UB Stadium. It is Friday, April 14th, the nighttime game, 7 o'clock, Friday, April 14th at UB Stadium for the spring game, the blue-white scrimmage game for the UB Football Bulls. Our thanks to Coach Lance Leipold for joining us. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Happy to share the field house with the UB Bulls. Their pro day today. You saw, those of you watching on video, on TV, saw some of the highlights of that. And, of course, they've had their spring practices. Coach Leipold, Donald, enjoyed talking to him. A coaching lifer. 8 years before he came here to Buffalo at Wisconsin Whitewater. 6 national championships.
If you're a football fan, you've heard Wisconsin Whitewater.
Yeah.
Like every year. For a long time, it was Wisconsin Whitewater playing Mount Union in Ohio. And both those teams would go back and forth and win championships for a long time. And he won 6 of them. That's a lot. That's a lot of championships.
Are you happy that a guy who had to game plan against Corey Davis shares your opinion that he's the man, he's the receiver? I mean, seriously, he knows.
It's always Coach good. Leipold, yeah, he knows. He had the game plan against him for real.
You know,
it's always good to talk to someone else, a scout, a coach, whatever it is that – is looking at Corey Davis and see, you know, if your thought process is the same as that person. You know?
And
Corey Davis, for me, is he's a solid receiver. You know, he's not just a guy, a big physical guy. You love to have that on your roster, but you need a guy who can run the entire route tree. If he's going to be your number two, you need to be able to run the entire route tree along with going down the field and catching the ball deep.
All right, so we'll talk about that with you if you'd like. We'll talk about our Twitter poll, and let's, revisit the Twitter pool. We haven't done that in a while. Talking about free agency, are the Bills kind of hitting to the finish line now of free agency? And if so, which free agent signing would you think would have the biggest impact on the Buffalo Bills this season? Which of their free agent signings, 7 of them unrestricted free agents, 1 other, and which one would have the biggest impact? 930 votes cast so far on Twitter. Overwhelmingly, our Twitter respondents, 80% of you say it is Micah Hyde, the safety. 13% say Stephen Hauschka, the kicker. 5% have somebody else in mind. 2% say Corey Brown, the wide receiver. Hoping to get Stephen Hauschka in studio with us. He is here in town today, and if we can get him on before 3 o'clock, we'll try to do that. Let's take a couple of phone calls. It is Tyler in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the line with us. Hello, Tyler. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay, we're okay. Thanks.
All That's good. I want to say I'm been listening for a while and love your show. I'm always interested to hear what Chris Brown has to say when he's on the show, and I love listening to your nephew too, John. It's always good to hear with
Nick.
Hey,
I was just with Nick last night, as a matter of fact. He's doing well. He'll be glad to hear that he's got some fans out there.
That's cool. So I actually have two questions. The first one, I'm really interested to hear what Donald has to say. I heard you guys talking in a couple of shows before how about the draft and the combine and how, you know, the 40 time can make or break, or the combine can make or break you. And we all know that John Ross had a really good combine and that he, you know, ran the 4.22. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what you guys may have thought if – what if the Bills were to draft him over Corey Davis and Mike Williams, like the draft surprise or something like that? Would you like that move, or would you be surprised if the Bills do that? I don't think they will if they do go receiver.
Right.
But I would, at the same time, you just never know with the draft. And my second question is, I'm very happy that the Bills signed Sean McDermott as the new head coach, particularly because of his approach. He's known for being very detailed, very methodical. And two, in comparison to Rex Ryan, how he might go about the draft. I remember when Rex was first signed as the head coach, it was Doug Whaley was talking about how he likes working with Rex, because when it came to the draft, Rex had pretty much told him that, you know, just bring in good players and we'll make them fit into our system, we'll make it work. Where I heard before, you know, Sean McDermott might go about it a different way, saying, hey, I need a weak side linebacker who can do this, that, and the other, and then I can coach him on the rest. Or I need a corner that's particularly good in this way, and I can work him with the rest. So I wanted to know what you guys thought about the differences in approach as it pertains to the draft. Would you like just – because there's something to be said about both. But I would particularly like to hear what you guys think about Rex, just like, hey, bring in good players, draft the best player available, get them into our roster, and we'll make them work. Or Sean McDermott, who might just be like, hey, I need this guy who can do this, and this is how he'll help our team.
Mm. Really good question.
Yeah, definitely. So when you talk about that, I think, you know, either way works, really. I mean, you hear so many different teams say, take the best guy available. You hear other teams say, you know, you draft for need. For me personally, I'd rather see you draft for need. I mean, take the best guy available. Let's just say you have Shady. Do you take Leonard Fournette because he's the best guy available? Just I don't know if that makes sense, right? So, for me, you draft for your needs on your team, and that's how you end up filling those holes that you have on your roster. The question about John Ross, I would not like it if the Bills drafted him ahead of Mike Williams or Corey Davis, just because, first of all, he's very small, like very small. He's like, I don't even know how tall he is, but he's like 180 pounds. He's had chronic knee issues, a couple of knee surgeries. He's about to have a shoulder surgery. So to take him top 10, that's a lot.
I was laughing. You every chance you get to trash John Ross.
I'm not trying to, I'm really not trying to trash the guy.
It just comes naturally to you.
It does. No, you know what? When you look at him, he's so small. He's fast. Yes, he is fast. When you have a history of knee issues, you're 180 pounds. You're like 5'10", something like that. You know, can you last a full season in this league? You haven't lasted full seasons in college, you know?
Are you talking about Ross or Marquise Goodwin?
I'm talking about Ross, not even Marquise.
Right? I mean
it's kind of similar. Though. Right. Similar build. Now, you see some guys that will last, like an Antonio Brown, you know, but Ross hasn't been able to do that yet. And the fact that he's so fast, I just don't think that translates into being a receiver in this league. So I wouldn't trust taking him at the number 10 pick.
Right. Going back to Tyler's – Tyler, thanks for calling his other comment about the specificity that Sean McDermott might operate with when it comes to identifying prospects. I like that. I think – I mean, again, he needs to coach and win, obviously. But
right.
I think I like that, a coach who knows exactly what he needs and transmits that to the scouting staff and the guys who will pull the names off the board, you know, making the draft picks. I do think I like that, as a matter of fact, because, look – yeah, there's a million good athletes in this draft, and only, you know, several hundred of them will be drafted. And some pieces fit, some don't fit. And I think if you, as a coach, if you can Let your scouting staff know what you need and exactly what you need and the prototype and maybe the parameters of what you need. And the scouts work with you. I mean, yeah. They do. They, you know, all the baloney about dysfunction, when it comes to drafting players, they are all on the same page for the most part, and not just the Bills, every team, because they all have a stake in it, and they work with you. If you tell them this is what you want, you know, most of the time I think teams, the scouting staff will say, okay, let's find that for you. Right?
I mean, we know when coaches get hired, you know, they say this is what I need to make it work, you know, and usually the team, the organization will give you all the pieces you need so that we can all win. Ultimately, you're the coach. You have to coach these players. So we're going to give you the pieces that you need so that we can win. I mean, Rex, they gave him everything he needed so that he can win. It just didn't work out, right. You know. So now Sean McDermott is coming with a different philosophy as far as the draft goes and free agency and everything and bringing in the players that he feel fits his system and what he needs on his team. And like you said, that's one part of it. Now you actually got to go out there and coach and win, and guys have to stay healthy, and all that stuff has to come together.
Here's a call from Bill in Bradford, Pennsylvania. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to know if you or Donald feel that I heard on the radio this morning that Buffalo, now that they've got Tyrod signed and they've got Cardell as probably their second guy, why they feel they do not need to draft a quarterback. And if Chad Kelly was available, why not take him in one of those drafts? Because we only got Tyrod for 1 year. You're going to run into the same thing perhaps next year with Tyrod. And if Chad Kelly could get under the wing of his Uncle Jim, why not take a chance?
Well, okay, Bill, there are a couple of things at play. First of all, it depends on when he might be available, Chad Kelly. If it's, you know, any time around 5th, 6th, 7th round, then I think that's when you would consider it. Donald and I have talked about the whole quarterback picture with this roster. You've got Cardell 1 year in the league. You've got Tyrod, who's going to be the starter. It would seem like it might be a better fit to me. I won't kind of speak for you, Donald. I'll let you talk in a second here. But it would seem like it might be a better group to have if you have a more veteran presence in that room, not to have – you know, Tyrod, a third-year starter, Cardell, who's barely played, and a raw rookie, no matter who it is. So will they draft a quarterback? They might. They only have 6 picks right now. And Chad Kelly will, you know, be in consideration, I'm sure, as you move through the draft into the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th rounds.
Right. I mean, will they draft one? They might draft one. They might bring one in still through free agency.
Yeah.
I had somebody tweet me yesterday and say, what are they going to have, 4 quarterbacks on the roster? Yeah, they might have 4 quarterbacks on the roster, especially in training camp.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you not go? Like, you bring guys in and let them compete. I mean, that's – especially if you're talking about drafting one later in the draft. You don't even know if he's going to be on your team, right? So you draft one, you bring one in through free agency, a veteran that's been able to win a couple of games, a few games in this league, and let all of those guys compete. And whoever is the best is the one that ends up on this roster.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a better fit to have a veteran who has been known to get it done, at least if it's 1, 2, 3 games for you throughout the course of a season. That's the guy that you need on your roster.
And look, they consider everything. You should know that, right? And in fact, I know that the scouting department, the personnel department, is diving deep into the quarterback pool, this year's draft prospects at quarterback, as we speak, you know, today, tomorrow, the next couple of days. So they'll be ready. They'll have their grades assigned. And if a Chad Kelly or some other quarterback on their list falls to them, they will give it due consideration. But I don't think they're – I know that they're not – they're not going into this draft saying, we want to draft this quarterback. I know that.
Right.
If someone falls to them at the right spot, maybe not number 10 in the first round, but if one falls to them at the right spot, they'll give it consideration.
Yeah, you know, I think people get really – people forget. They go to camp with 90 guys on the roster, right? And then they cut down to the number that they're supposed to be at, the 53. But 90 guys on your roster, you can afford to have 4 quarterbacks on your roster for camp.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
A call here from Tuff in Buffalo. Is that really your name, Tuff?
Yes, yes.
How do you spell that?
Oh, T-U-F-F. I'm named after my father.
Okay, T-U-F-F. Okay. Thanks. You're on the air, Tuff.
Yeah, it's about the defense. I see we got the same team with a different scheme. And we had a lot of missed tackles in 200-yard games. You think that is enough, or you think we need to address that?
They definitely need to address all the missed tackles. That's something that, you know, a guy like Coach McDermott coming over, simplifying the defense, I think that's going to be something he really addresses. is those missed tackles. Now, I think he's going to bring talent in on this roster as well through the draft. I do. I think he might end up drafting a safety and some corners. You know, he probably end up taking a linebacker as well. But they have to address the missed tackles, because I don't care how much talent is on your roster. If your guys are not tackling, there's a problem. And it's a combination of your want to and then the rest of the team actually getting to the ball. Because in this league, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, you're not supposed to let the first guy tackle you. You're not. The coaches tell you that all the time. Like, you let the first guy bring you down, you know. So if the first guy holds you up, everybody else should be getting to the ball so that they can bring you down. Last year, you weren't seeing that. You know, you were seeing the arm tackles. The one person wasn't even able to hold the guy up. So you need to address that definitely, or you're going to have the same season you had last year.
Al in Buffalo. Welcome to the show, Al. What's on your mind?
Hey, my question is, the season tickets, they go up every year. I'm not sure about this, but it's my fourth year in a row. I'm not exactly sure about how much it was year one, but year two, it was $630.
What are we talking about, the price of season tickets?
Yes, the price of season tickets. And last year it was $650. That this year is $680.
No, I think the season tickets are the same price. In fact, I think the release came out a month or so ago. The season ticket prices are the same in 2017 as they were in 2016. Pretty sure.
Nope. Mine is last and now it's $680. I'm confused and I don't know where it keeps going up. So I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Well, again, my understanding is they did not go up this year. You may have different evidence.
I have no clue. I mean, I really have no clue.
Dennis calling from Buffalo. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, greetings.
Hi.
This might be a very controversial question. Could cause quite a bit of uproar between the Bills administration and Western New York fans. Since the Bills are looking for maybe a possible quarterback to draft in the round, Chad Kelly or whomever, but you just spoke about you needing, the Bills might need an experienced quarterback as the third one to back up the two quarterbacks are presently on their roster. Would the situation become available if E.J. Manuel gets signed and put in there? Would that be a mistake by the administration or Whaley or the new coach to consider signing EJ, or are other teams considering signing Manu as their backup quarterback or quarterback depth?
Yeah, Dennis, I haven't seen EJ's name pop up anywhere, Donald. Maybe you have a free agent visit. I'd be stunned if he signed here. I think no one has verbalized this or said this, but I believe the feeling is, you know, they're ready to move on from EJ. First-round draft pick 4 years ago, they're ready to move on. Right,
I would think so.
Yeah.
I think they want to get better at the backup position. You know, and we talked about this yesterday, and it's like, man, what team really has a good backup? There are not many teams that have a good backup, but you know, I think they feel that they can get a little bit better than EJ was at the backup position for them, and I think him playing in that last game really hurt him. You know, the way he played in that last game. So I would be stunned if they bring him back.
All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back and finish up here from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Earlier today in the show, we had Thurman Thomas sitting right here in studio. We're laughing the entire hour. It was great. Sorry you missed it. If you did, you can pick it up on our website at buffalobills.com. Thurman, we asked him about what Bill Polian, former Bills GM, told Donald and I back at the Combine a couple of weeks ago. He thought there were a lot of qualities linking current Bills head coach Sean McDermott with Thurman's Bills head coach Marv Levy. Here's what Thurman Thomas had to say.
That got my attention a couple of weeks, too, when he said, I remember him hearing him say about it. But, wow, I mean, that puts you right at the top right there to see how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've talked to Coach McDermott a couple of times, and I'm just anxious to see, you know, once the OTAs start and once he gets his roster filled, you know, what type of coaching method is he going to use. But for Bill Polian to say that, that's pretty special right there.
No kidding. Thurman Thomas talking about that. Also on the show just earlier on, Lance Leipold, the head coach of the UB Bulls, going into his third year. They've had their pro day here today with some prospects working out in front of 10 or 12 NFL scouts, and the Bulls have been practicing here for some of their spring workouts, and Coach Leipold talked to us about that.
we'll get about nine practices after spring break, and that way, you know, it's really a good format, John, where you get a day of practice, a day kind of in the classroom, clean it up, another day in the weight room, maybe get about three practices a week and really get a chance to teach and do things and really at the same time try to stay healthy.
Lance Leipold, head coach of the UB Bulls. Talked with Coach Leipold about his schedule. The Bills' schedule should be coming out in the next 5 or 6 weeks or so. And if you'd like to guess what it might be, check it out on our website, the Buffalo Bills Schedule Challenge. It is presented by Ellicott Hotels. You take a quiz, a very brief quiz, on a couple of schedule-related questions. A lot at stake, including two club season tickets for the upcoming season, two on-field passes for the home opener, or an autographed helmet. A couple of simple questions. Who will they open with? Will they play at night? When will they play? Et cetera, et cetera. Go to BuffaloBills.com to check out the Bills Schedule Challenge. The annual Bills Schedule Challenge is up. Also today, we talked a lot about free agency. The Bills, with their 8 signings in free agency, maybe winding things down. We did our Twitter poll on which Bills free agent might have the biggest impact. And we had about 950 votes cast, and overwhelmingly you said Micah Hyde would have the biggest impact. 80% of you, 13% say the kicker, Steven Hauschka, 5% say somebody else, and 2% say Corey Brown, the wide receiver. We'll find out. I don't know if there – we know all along there wouldn't be any splash signings of free agent, Donald. Maybe this is it. We'll find out, right?
I think that's going to be it. I think Micah Hyde was probably the biggest name, but – no, don't sleep on Steven Hauschka. You know, he's been a good, reliable kicker out there in Seattle. I'm surprised Seattle let him get away. You know, things happen, and the fact that the Bills were able to bring him in, we needed a kicker.
All right, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Our studio producer, Ryan Gates, production assistants from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, James Donovan, our producer, the birthday boy, Jay Harris. Donald back with Sal Capaccio tomorrow. I'll be watching Hoops tomorrow. Donald will be doing the show presented by Napa Auto Parts right here from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.